Blog Talk Radio.
Hear me? I don't know if anyone out in the world can hear me, but welcome to the show. This is Seeds of Change, and apparently our host is having mic issues, and so I'm just going to start. I am Danielle's mom, Carla, and I'm going to start the show by saying welcome to the show. And we hope to have some good programming for you today. I'm going to do the good news report at 4 o'clock, but I'm pretty sure Elizabeth and Danielle both want to. Sorry, there's Nala saying hello. I'm pretty sure Danielle and Elizabeth both want to talk about the train incidents that have been occurring here recently. So I think that's going to be a focus of the show. I'm sure Danielle will have clips from our buddy Jimmy Dore. He's been featured on a bunch of different blogs and radio shows and TV shows, internet, right wing and left wing shows here recently, because he's got something to say about the war hawks in Washington trying to start World War III. If I had my guess, those are the topics that Danielle and Elizabeth would have been or will be covering today. And I'm getting messages from my beautiful daughter to say keep talking, but this isn't I'm a little startled, shall we say. So I'm going to get started with maybe just a couple of the articles or a couple of the articles that I would have covered under the Good News Report. Lily and I have shared something, and that is a love for a gentleman, cute little priesty guy named Archbishop Vigano. And I'm having trouble with my mouse now too, technology. Oh, we love technology. And so I have a statement from him. He puts out a statement pretty often and has been since COVID started. Hello, I can hear somebody.
Oh, you can hear me now? I don't know what happened, but hi, I'm here. Not sure. We changed nothing and it started working. Actually, I muted my microphone and then unmuted it and then it just worked. I don't know. I had tech support, like that, you know, level 3 come down, also known as my daughter. You know, it wasn't, yeah. She's like, did you change any of the settings? And I said, no. Anyway, so that little saga. Hi, welcome to Seeds of Change.
It's always good to have a teenager in the house when you need them, right?
Absolutely. Okay, so I was actually going to see if I could get my husband to call into the show, and you were right on, you were right about the, I'm going to let Elizabeth in now. Elizabeth, are you there? Hello?
Well, hello, how are you?
Hello, getting a little bit of a late start, but I was just saying that my husband is, you know, very passionate about this East Palestine, you know, say it however you want, Palestine. It's not spelled any different. So I think we should just pick a pronunciation. Anyway, but he's very upset about the environmental aspects of it. He's sad for the animals, and, you know, and he's got an interesting perspective too, because of his job and how, you know, when you're responsible for any kind of body of water, or, you know, airspace or, you know, anything like that, it comes with this level of responsibility that, like, if there's a drop of oil that, you know, spills into San Diego Bay from his marina, he's going to, you know, have to contaminate it. He's got a protocol or decontaminate it, make sure that it doesn't go any further than this one little splash of water, clean it up, all of these things. So regulated. So to see such a large chemical spill and the choices that were made afterwards to, quote unquote, clean it up by setting it on fire. It's like, you know, there's a lot of things. Yeah. And then calling it safe. Right. So hopefully he'll call in, but he's going to go run some errands. Yep. He might not.
That would be really fantastic to talk about that, because I think of all the things that's ever happened, this puts a spotlight on the fact that our governors and our politicians are superseding the rule of law and ruling by fiat. You know, I decree and I say, we had two governors that signed off on, yeah, why don't you just do this? This sounds like a good idea. Burn it up. Without bringing in, could we get it okay from the EPA? Isn't that what they do? Should they not have been consulted? Trust. We don't have trust for anything anymore. But that's what these entities are set up for, is to protect.
They refuse to help.
Same things exactly like this.
Wait a minute.
Chemical fallout.
Elizabeth,
pardon me?
The EPA has refused to help.
I was talking.
They have been called, FEMA has been called, EPA has been called, and it wasn't until yesterday that they agreed to help. They've been ignoring all the requests from the governor in Ohio. They wouldn't come. And then President Trump said he was going to go there, and the next day they agreed to give them the FEMA money. That was just yesterday. There was a mayor in East Palestine said that they were doing a town hall. The residents were upset, obviously. There's footage of this mayor saying, I didn't hear from Joe Biden until yesterday, and that was 13 days after the incident, calling on them.
I'm talking about before the incident, when the company got the okay to do this from the governor. Hello?
I'm here. You mean what? To run those chemicals in the trains? Or burn it off?
They wouldn't have gotten the okay to set the fire if they didn't have got it from both of the governors.
They did. You're correct.
They're bad guys. So I was in the middle of it. Yeah. All right.
It's true. Yeah, they are doing that now. They all said, yeah, sure, we'll burn it off. And then now they're all pointing fingers at each other. He made the decision. But I'm talking, you said about them taking their power. They didn't have a choice because the federal government wouldn't step in. They've been begging them to come and to do something and to give them some money. And I have the articles about it.
We can't burn our leaves in our backyards.
Right. Yes.
You cannot say, well, okay, it's easier to just burn it than to clean it up. And have the decision, meaning they cannot rule by fiat. They cannot just make a decision on their own without – there should have been – with the EPA, there are laws and stipulations of how these things are handled, and just saying, okay, yeah, whatever the company wants to do. No, the company caused a huge fuck-up, nuclear meltdown, chemical spill, chemical cloud that will probably never go away because it was cheaper to do this. And, you know, the governor said it's okay. This is what has been going on for the entire time of this medical lockdown and the taking away of our rights and the constitutional freedoms and our human rights because the governor took money from the pharmaceutical companies, or was it the pharmaceutical pharmaceutical companies took over the United States of America and put us all under lock and key because the governor said
yeah.
so.
Medical martial law, for sure.
This is exactly the same thing, and it's like, oops, they really did fuck up, but this is how we operate now. This needs to be
yeah.
like, okay, where did we go wrong? Where was the EPA that was should have been the first and the second?
Okay,
and it,
so
there's a protocol,
okay, so,
and it got fucked up. Okay.
Hold on a little.
And I don't know what.
That's the worst part.
You know,
wait a minute. You keep saying that they've been begging the EPA. Okay, you don't hear me co-signing the federal government because they suck, and I think the EPA is corrupt as freaking all get out. But the citizens and the mayors and the governor of Ohio have been begging the White House to come in and do something, and it wasn't until yesterday that they finally admitted that there was a problem, or at least acknowledged that they had that
right.
there was a request. They've been ignoring them. They would they haven't had any visits from the administration. The EPA has been ignoring their requests. So it has been a clusterfuck. You're right from day one, but and yes, I agree that during COVID they got these little frickin' tyrants, tin pot dictators, governors, you know, took too much power. But I'm telling you, they have been ignoring the requests from Ohio, acting like it didn't happen. And when finally President Trump said, "I'm going there Wednesday," the next day. FEMA came in with money. EPA sent regulators. They've been ignoring
that.
No, I heard
the exact opposite, that they were going to cancel all that because Trump was going. So I don't know where all of this information is coming from. But
I have
people
want me to read you the article,
who are going on Tucker. They don't feel safe. They're saying it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And without actually going through a process, and people are sick and animals are dying, and
yeah.
you can't hide that big mushroom cloud, and you can't hide these videos of all the different pretty colors in the water. And I believe there was a video of them trying to just bury it quickly. It was the reason this happened so quickly is because the train had to keep going. And I think it's ironic that they shut down all the truckers and then decided, well, we don't need truckers. We got trains. And they started doubling up on having a multiple layer of cargo on top of each other on these rail cars that eventually caused, and there's been several, that they're operating against safety regulations, I am quite sure. And
mm-hmm.
because the government said, we need to do this, we're doing it. And that's where the overreach of this is. You know, there are, I'm sure, something set, and we're breaking every rule. And in the meantime, oh, it's safe and effective, and oh, the water's fine, I would drink it. This is ridiculous.
Right, but yeah, you saw that meme, right?
Water
where the gas, they show like the mushroom cloud and the EPA saying, oh yeah, this is safe. And then, the gas stove, and they're like, oh, this is harmful to the environment, right? Like, what kind of bizarre world are we living in?
Exactly.
Where are all the environmentalists? Why aren't they out?
Yeah, where's Greta? Where's Greta? I want Greta there now.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Where's anybody? Anybody that's spoken out against anything has been, they've been thrown in jail in these platforms. So maybe they are trying to, and simply we've been propagandized so hard that you're only getting what they want, the side of the story, and no one else is going to get the microphone. I heard tell that Aaron Brockovich was a huge sellout, and I thought, well, that's a shame. That's a shame because she certainly seemed to be, you know, quite influential and really, according to the movie that we all saw, had a lot of integrity. And so
mm-hmm.
she came out and spoke on this, and I thought, well, this is interesting. You've got someone who hasn't said boo on anything in years and comes out and talks on this. And, you know, who knows what's scripted, what's not scripted. But the fact that they're trying to downplay this, everyone needs to say, well, hold on, what about, why are people sick? And where did this all go? And how, and is it spreading? You know, and why did my dog, you know, have a coughing fit and a sneezing fit? Because I slept with the windows open last night. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm killing my, I thought, oh, shit, we can't have the windows open. There's, oh, there could be, what was in there? What was burning? And what, why were you transporting that? And I looked into that. And it seems to be a substance that they use to make PCB pipe. And I thought, well, didn't we put all of our industries overseas? How many of these damn little factories that makes PCB pipe are all over the country that this shit needs to be shipped all over the country? I don't buy that story, first of all. And then the side effects are liver disease, liver cancer, a numbness in your appendages, which is everybody seems to have this. It's like that diabetic nerve tingling thing that they're treating now. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Do they put this? Is this part of our water supply poison that they give us? Or is it being shipped to all the airports? Is this part of the mixture, the cocktail that they spray upon us? And I'm
right.
Like,
that's the other aspect of it.
Yeah, this needs to be blown out of the water, and it never needs to go away. And
yes.
And I think this needs to be like a January 6th type of thing that I would hope that Rand Paul goes to town on.
And
the pipeline. We couldn't have a pipeline to get gas. We can't transport dangerous toxins on a volatile railroad system that it's one accident after another because they're overloading the trains. Hello?
Right.
Can't do that. Shouldn't be doing that. So anyways, I'm really glad. I think everybody, if you knew about what happened, I think everybody should be upset about this. But the thing is, do
right.
they know about it? Because I don't know.
Right.
Are they touting the Saint Jimmy Carter right now on TV? I don't have TV, but I'm wondering what are they talking about.
The mainstream left has been pretty quiet on it until very recently, but it is getting, this one is getting some attention in, like, you know, the Tucker Carlsons and, you know, of the world.
Yeah.
But this is not even the only one that's happened this week. There's been a series of them, which I actually said in my very eloquent opening statement that nobody heard because of my microphone. It was beautiful, but, you know, this is not the only disaster. And Really Graceful has a good video on it. I'll post the video so that people listening, on the chat can watch along with us. And I believe we've got our good friend, who's been MIA for a very long time, John Michael, with us listening. I think that's him listening. But you guys remember John Michael, right?
We do. I look forward to talking to him.
Is he the truck driver?
What's that, Elizabeth?
Is he the truck driver?
No, not a truck driver.
Then I don't remember John Michael.
Wait. Okay. Anyway, but he's a friend who's...
The one with the cute eyes?
Yes. Yep, that's him. Yep.
John Glenn, I love you. See?
Yes, we love him. We're so glad that he's back. And thank you for listening.
Awesome.
And if you want to, John Michael, if you want to jump in, because he's been listening since the beginning, but if you want to jump in,
really?
Press one. But I would also like to play this video. Here he is. Let's let him talk for a minute. But I'd like to play this audio for everyone. I'm going to post in the chat.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Well, hello, darling. I miss you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well. I have been through quite a lot the last couple of years, but I'm doing just fine. How are you guys?
Awesome. I'm perpetually sick.
I know. I was listening to it.
I don't even know.
It
won't go
away. Well, you
know,
where I was, and I'm sure that, you know, I know Danielle wants to play something, but I'm just now learning about a lot of the stuff that's going on because, you know, we only had very, very restricted news sources, of course. And so I wasn't allowed to, we weren't allowed to read about a lot of this stuff. And so, and if it was, it was very much relegated to like second page B7 sort of stuff. Like where it was like at the end, it wasn't front page news by any means. So I'm very interested in like, I'm listening to you guys and learning from you. So, but hello everyone. Hello.
Well, welcome back, my darling. I'm so glad you're back. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Danielle, did
he
I say your mom the one that's hosting this with you?
Yeah, and Elizabeth Huff.
Okay. Yeah, of course. I heard your mom say Carla, and I was like, I haven't met your mom, but I've been to your mom's house, obviously. Like, we went that one time, and I don't think I got to meet her. So I'm very excited to, like, talk to her. That's cool.
She does, so the show, it's a three-hour show, and she, every Sunday at 4, we do the Good News Report, and we just, you know, just focus on only good news stories. So, like,
There's
so much negative. Yeah. Anyway,
God,
so with that, mom's
awesome.
Gonna, she's back on. But mom, if you guys are okay, I'm gonna play this video. This is really graceful, and I just posted it in the chat. Are we ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Let's go. Yeah.
Hey, Internet friends. In a single month, a total of 4 high-flying balloon-like objects have been shot down by U.S. fighter jets. A handful of trains have derailed, with one of the trains carrying hazardous materials derailing in East Palestine, Ohio, blanketing the sky with a cloud of thick black smoke. Then, a plume of orange-colored gas filled the air after a truck spilled hazardous chemicals in Arizona. And now, a 5-acre industrial inferno is burning in Florida, sending fumes from melted plastic into the air, bringing us to a grand total of 7 ecological disasters in less than 2 weeks. And sure, you could excuse a few coincidences here and there, but what is happening is incredibly intentional, overt, and dangerous. Do you see it too? Something strange is happening in America, and we need to talk about it. You know how I roll. Let's lay everything out on a timeline, present the facts, point out the coincidences, and decide for ourselves what's going on. Remember, around this time last year on this channel, we were documenting all the food processing plant fires and how food production was being targeted in a very real and intentional way. Then we discussed the threat of avian flu accounts that led farmers to cull entire factories of seemingly perfectly healthy flocks, which is why we're seeing high prices at the grocery store now for a dozen eggs. Anyway, I'm just giving you context for the disaster we're seeing unfold in recent weeks. And that's without me mentioning that they shut the entire world down for 2 weeks to slow the spread in 2020. And that stretched into months, killing small business and really messing up shipping and production for everyone. Especially with that handy-dandy Suez Canal obstruction in 2021. Do you remember that? Since the end of January, 4 vessels, including what was reported as a Chinese spy balloon, have been seen in U.S. and Canadian airspace. February 1st marked the sighting of the viral balloon in Reed Point, Montana.
That's the moon. It's a little fuzzy out here, and it's a kind of a cruddy phone, but it's slightly overcast. Well, what the heck is that?
If you remember, on February 3rd, this is when an explosion over the skies of Montana occurred, but it was memory hold and then never spoken of again. On February 4th, video shows the balloon being shot down over the Atlantic Ocean off of South Carolina. And the official narrative is that the Chinese Foreign Ministry protested the U.S. balloon downing. They said that China strongly protests the U.S. in deploying force to target civilian unmanned airships. The whole incident raised many questions, like why didn't the military shoot it down as soon as it was spotted? It's incredibly demoralizing for U.S. citizens to see a perceived threat, like a foreign spy balloon, over their house and watch the government do absolutely nothing about it. The news seemed to strike up more talk of tension and war with China, even though China has all of our production contracts, so it wouldn't necessarily be a smart move on either side to enter into a war with each other, since the United States doesn't produce or manufacture anything, really, and China would lose out financially on these contracts. But I digress. I'm just telling you why, in my humble opinion, it's a psyop from every angle. The other angle is the UFO angle, which you can have UFOs without aliens, you know? UFOs are just unidentified flying objects, which many militaries have. But all this discussion of the U.S. shooting down full fleets of alien UFOs has prompted renewed interest in NASA's Project Bluebeam, or the theory that the government will use advanced technology to fake an alien invasion to control and manipulate the population. Through Project Bluebeam, the government would use holographic images projected into the sky, sounds, and special effects to simulate an alien invasion. Subliminal messages and hypnosis would also be deployed to control people's thoughts and emotions. This is where I land on another question. Have we been psyoped into believing absolutely everything is fake?
That's what I took away from it today.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Lock your doors tonight.
On February 10th, another object was shot down off of Dead Horse, Alaska. Again, no specific detail given besides that it was the size of a small car, flying at an altitude that posed a threat to air traffic. Then on February 11th, something was shot down over the Yukon. On February 12th, another object was shot down over Michigan. While all of this UFO target practice was happening, on February 3rd, a freight train carrying extremely hazardous chemicals derailed along Norfolk Southern's railway in East Palestine, Ohio. Palestinians worldwide just can't catch a break, can they? State officials asked emergency responders to burn the leak, releasing these toxic chemicals into the air. One of these chemicals, phosgene, was a weapon in the World Wars. People within a one-mile radius were evacuated, but we all know by now that that wasn't enough. Visuals from the area make it look like a nuke went off. I mean, a train carrying what might have been the worst chemical cargo ever was derailed under suspicious circumstances. And then they blew up every single car carrying that substance, right in the middle of the best farmland in the country.
Wow.
Look at all that.
Look at it.
It's all in the bottom of the creek.
Hey, guys, so I'm here at Leslie Run, and there's dead worms and dead fish all throughout this water. Something I just discovered is that if you scrape the creek bed, it's like chemical is coming out of the ground. Can you come here? And let me just show this to people. I don't know if they're going to see this on camera, but watch this. Just see that chemical pop out of the creek. This is disgusting.
Right now, as we speak, these chemicals are seeping into the Ohio River, which supplies 10% of the United States drinking water, affecting 30 million citizens. But don't worry. Bill Gates, who was almost as lucky as Larry Silverstein with his timing, became the largest shareholder of Ecolab, a water treatment, hygiene, and infection prevention company, the shares of which he purchased in 2022. So no doubt, Devil Bill will profit from this disaster, too. Even though government officials have insisted the water in the area is safe to drink, I really wouldn't if I were you. Videos have emerged showcasing quite the contrary, and pets, fish, birds, even outside the blast zone, are dying. A class action lawsuit has alleged that East Palestine residents may already be undergoing DNA mutations. Though if I had to guess, the DNA mutations are probably from the COVID shots, but inhaling all the toxic fumes sure doesn't help. The Norfolk Southern company worth $55 billion, who is primarily owned by the Vanguard Group, JP Morgan, and BlackRock, has offered $25,000 in assistance. There are 5,000 residents in East Palestine, and I'm no mathematician here, but that comes out to a whopping $5 per resident affected. It should also be noted that rail unions were striking months ago because they were overworked and understaffed. But Norfolk Southern did nothing to improve working conditions. Was all of this in East Palestine organic or just happenstance? The 2021 film White Noise was shot in East Palestine. The film is about a train that crashes and explodes with toxic fumes and the town has to be evacuated. What are the chances that the script was already written for us back in 2021? The media wants you to know that we have over 1,000 train derailments per year, so pay no attention. And there has not been a single peep from Greta, not a single peep from Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, or those who claim to care so much about the environment. Since East Palestine, four other trains have derailed which were carrying hazardous chemicals, but the consequences, they weren't quite up there with East Palestine. On February 14th, after a hazardous truck spill of liquid nitric acid in Tucson, Arizona, authorities closed down the entire interstate and forced evacuation. Now, Florida residents are worried about breathing in the air after a 5-acre plant nursery caught fire, sending up flames and toxins from the plastic plant containers, which occurred on February 16th. It's almost like we're seeing the demolition of the United States play out before us. We're watching our food and water supply be attacked, our infrastructure, our freedoms and liberties disappear one right after the other. There have been direct attacks on the family unit, our financial system, the military, everything. It's undeniable at this point. And the last month, even though Even through all these happenings, it's just an incredibly narrow view in the whole scheme. We've been under attack in every way for a while now, but what do we do about it? Short term, personally, I'd first not panic, but make sure you have the supplies and water you need to weather this storm. Because it certainly seems like it's ramping up, which makes sense when you think about it, because the criminals who inflicted the medical tyranny and widespread death, suffering, and deceit on all of us, well, they were never going to take the fall for it. They would rather burn everything down to the ground than be held liable. And doing so serves the shadowy plot to completely destroy our constitutional republic and shift the balance in favor of a one-world government, nations without borders. Just like they told us they were going to do with Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and the Great Reset. What do you think, Internet friends? You know, I always look forward to reading your comments. Apologies for my absence. I'm currently working on releasing my first book next month, so please subscribe to my newsletter so I can tell you when it comes out. You're going to want to read it. As always, thank you so much for watching, subscribing, and supporting my channel on Patreon. Bye.
Okay, she's amazing, and I would suggest everybody subscribe to Really Graceful, and definitely buy that book.
Definitely, and really, she said it the best. They would rather burn it all down than be held accountable for, in shame. Where did it, at what point in time do you get where that's acceptable, or they'll never know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that, I mean, she just has this very succinct way of, and very really graceful way of presenting these kind of facts. We lose a little bit because this is audio and not video, but I do post it in the chat in case anybody wants to go back and watch later. I definitely suggest it. But, you know, we've kind of been seeing the writing on the wall for a while now, and you know, I posted the other day on Facebook that people probably might want to figure out how to grow indoors, because at this point, what do we trust? Do we even trust the air? Do we even trust, you know, planting food on the side of the road? Do we do, you know, the water sources, the air? You know, I'm a pretty firm believer that we're this spontaneous rainstorm that we're getting right now that was on no map at all. Was cloud seeding. They sprayed the shit out of us, you know? So really, like, what are they doing? What kind of chemicals are even in just these, you know, chemtrails that everybody is seeing, you know, let alone this environmental disaster? I wouldn't suggest that people anywhere near that that train derailment grow food outside right now. Would you? I mean, I think that at this time, at this point, indoors is the way to go.
Absolutely. Or even be outside. 2 days after this happened, we had an incredible snow event. It was ice and rain and snow. And after the fact, someone posted a satellite image of how close I am to, you know, like a couple inches away from Ohio. And the storm went that way. And it's like acid rain. This is, and what is it? Vinyl chloride. And it's like we just, anybody that was out in that got contaminated. And it's just, it's horrifying that there were not any, you know, they went to the land of crazy and oh, we don't want anyone to get sick. They shut the whole fucking world down and everything was locked down. And this is an actual thing and there should be some caution taken. And they didn't go anywhere in the land of, let's err on the side of caution, err on the side of safety. None of that.
Yeah, pretty sure they're laughing at us.
Oh, my God.
John Michael, what do you think? Since this is all kind of new for you, like, what do you think about what's going on?
Yeah, so, like, to give, like, just a little bit of background, so I've been incarcerated for the last 2 years, and so getting out of being incarcerated, I'm just now getting exposed to a lot of the things that have been going on the outside, right? I don't know some of this stuff because we got one newspaper, and it was the local newspaper, and we, you know, most people did not want to watch news in there, and most people did not have, like, the conversation skills to continue to be able to talk about this sort of thing, right? And so from my perspective, it's very interesting. I mean, I can definitely talk about to the COVID part of it. Like, I just think COVID's absolutely bullshit, personally, because I have not been vaccinated. For me, it was a religious choice. Like, the things that they were saying around COVID sounded a little bit too much like the Book of Revelation for my taste, and so I was like, that is absolutely not something I'm going to do. Not to mention, we're supposed to, what, trust that the pharmaceutical companies who are making this vaccine, that they're using this mRNA technology that can rewrite your DNA, and we're supposed to believe that they're not going to rewrite our DNA in other ways that are more insidious. Yeah, I don't buy that for a second, right? And so from my perspective, being in jail for 2 years and having been exposed to several outbreaks of COVID and not having gotten it at all, it's kind of really interesting, like, hearing people, you know, and then you have the flip side of it where I have family members who are very staunchly pro-vaccine, and I mean very staunchly pro-vaccine, to be on the other side and to be the one who's like, yeah, that sounds like a terrible idea. Like, this sounds like we're probably doing some really bad, you know, making pretty bad mistake. And again, like, my perspective is always a faith-informed perspective. And so for me, it's like, I don't think God likes it very much when we tinker with his creation. And I mean that in all aspects, right? Whether it's the ecological aspect, whether it's the medical aspect, whether it's the, you know, virological aspect. He does not enjoy when we tinker with his creation. And you can look no further than examples in the Bible of people doing exactly that and earning themselves the worst, you know, judgments, right? So from my perspective, again, I'm just now getting into this whole thing, but I don't know if that's helpful or not, or what do you guys think as far as what I said?
You're on the point.
You're absolutely correct. And I didn't take the vaccine for the same reason.
Yeah, because they were literally saying that you're not going to be able to go into stores. They were saying that kids were not going to be able to go to school, and I remember reading that article and literally saying, huh, my sister's not going to put her kids in school. Like, I was like, well, I guess Danielle's going to, because, like, you know, Danielle's like a sister to me, right? She's like the sister I never had or that I should have had, right? And so I'm like, yeah, my sister's not going to put her kids in school, right? And for me, that was the,
okay,
you know,
is
the
there
joke.
Something wrong with this audio? Are you guys hearing that too?
His audio sounds good to me, but definitely he's nailing it.
All right, sorry, John Michael. Sorry to interrupt. Keep going.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, you know, like, from my perspective, like, it's definitely I think we're in, like, the end times. Like, I don't see how anyone could not see that. And, I mean, I know this show maybe isn't really, like, a theological discussion, but I look at everything from a theological viewpoint, right? And so I don't see how we can look at the things that are happening. And I once kind of speculated that I don't think that the opposite of love is hatred, right? I don't think it's hatred. That's, like, that's not it at all. There is no opposite of love, really, because the Bible says God is love, right? But if you want to say that the closest thing to an opposite, I think it's control, right? It's not wanting people to do their own thing. It's not being able to let someone make their own decisions, right? You have to have that control over them. And I think that certainly the government is reaching for quite a lot of control in a lot of areas. And I think that I do agree with what Danielle said. They're laughing at us. Of course they are, right? I mean, of course they're laughing at us. They think we're children. Yeah. They have all the secrets to all the lost, quote-unquote, lost knowledge that they think makes them superior to us in a lot of ways, right? And they think that they alone hold the levers of power. So, of course, they want to dominate us in any way they can. I don't know if that tracks with you guys, but
yeah,
that's where I do.
It does. Right on track.
I absolutely
and I
love,
love what you said. Hold on one second. You said something super important that you said, that the opposite of love isn't hate, it's control. And that makes perfect sense when you think about the enemy.
Right. And we think about the things that they're doing, right? I mean, you go back to the earliest story, right? The garden, right? God didn't control Adam and Eve. He gave them a choice, right? And so he could have controlled them, but that's not how he decided to proceed, right? He decided to proceed with love, with allowing, knowing that what could possibly happen, right, or what would happen, because we know he knows all things, right? So he knew what was going to happen, and he allowed them to make that choice anyway. And I think, we see a lot of examples of control. I mean, I just came from an environment where control was a part of the daily regimen, right, where control was everything to the officers that were detaining us, and that was – you know, they used to do things that would assert their control over us, right? And so for me, you know, being able to love someone and to being able to love our fellow man is part of that is enlightening them. And I'm glad you guys are doing this show. That's all I wanted to call in and say was I'm glad you guys are doing something like this. And I really like, I'm going to call back probably for the good news hour because I like, you know, you want to have some glimpse of of stuff that's going well. That's why I like watching Sherry Shepherd. I don't know if you guys ever watch Sherry, but she always does, like, something good on her, like, show. Like, she talks about something good that's happening. And, of course, she's corporate media, so, of course, she's got her narrative that she does with along with them and marches and stuff with them. But certainly I'm aware of, like, what's happening in the world, and I think we all need to continue to be aware and continue to speak out about it and continue to take what actions we can, like Danielle's been saying.
Aww.
Absolutely.
Well, you're John Michael, okay. You're welcome to stay as long as you want, or you can call back in and listen, and it's up to you. But we're just so glad that you're back and safe, and hopefully you'll call in and be a part of the show as often as you are able.
Yeah, I'll definitely call back in a little bit. I have to have a group here in a little bit, so I just need to get ready for group, and I want to be involved and everything. I just want to clarify too, just so I'm clear in case anyone's like, I knew he was a convict or I knew he was crazy, whatever.
Oh.
Like I'm still going through like court proceedings and everything, and so I still have to see a resolution to my case. So I'm not. You know, so anyone that wants to, like, send good vibes or prayers for me as I continue to go through things, I'd really appreciate it. And just thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate you.
Oh, we love you
and
so much.
One convict, I'm so glad that you're with us. I thought you had died, and I was devastated. And I'm so happy that that's what you went through because you're here. So who cares? You're making amends and whatever. And you
no,
can
I didn't
do
lie.
Yeah, better than dead, you know?
You know?
There were some
oh
people that told
so
me that.
Happy.
There's been a few people that were like, I thought you were dead. And, like, you know, honestly, I don't have the best, like, relationship with family. So if I did die, probably no one would know. Like, because they would be, because, I mean, I don't know if they would tell anybody. Like, and that's sad. But, you know, it is what it is. But I'm happy to be back, too. And I'll call back in a little bit. Y'all have a good one, okay?
Okay. Love you.
Good. Love
Thank
you.
So
it's good to talk to you.
Okay. Goodbye.
You got this. Love you. Bye-bye. Oh, God, what a great, that was the best news ever for me. Because I love this guy. He's so beautiful.
Yeah, right?
Inside of that. And he has the most gorgeous eyes that just emanate this wonderful, happy soul that he has. And, and as you can tell, he's so intelligent. He's just fantastic. So that was that was a treat. I'm so glad he called in. It was a treat. Yes.
And he'll call back. He's been around. I started, he got in contact with me, I think, this last Wednesday. And I was like, oh my God, because you know, like I'm right there with you. I thought he was dead. I was really, really like, oh God, he was supposed to come for Christmas and he just never showed up. And I'm like, what is going on? I couldn't get a hold of him. I couldn't, you know, so I'm several times I'm like, he's probably dead, but he's not. So yay.
Well, yay. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so we got about 15 minutes before the good news report. But really, Mom, if you want to get started with the good news report early, I'm okay with that. The only other topic I want to talk about today is
good.
Is what?
Yeah, I'm ready to do that. That would be good because I believe the coop door is getting fixed today. And so the sooner I get off the radio, the sooner we get to get the coop door fixed.
Yes. I have one question for you, though, that is very important that I need to ask you first.
Question department's open. Yes, go ahead.
Has there been a bobcat sighting since Benny got there?
So thank you for asking that question. The answer is no. And, okay, so just a little background for those of you that are maybe new to the show. We had a bobcat coming in my yard, and I have a small female dog. I'm not sure if the bobcat was aware that I have this dog. I know. But there was a male bobcat coming in. He killed four of my chickens. And then after that, it was a female coming in, and she killed one of my chickens. And I have something called a coop, right, which is where they sleep at night, a run, which is where they hang out during the day, and then I had this little sectioned off piece called a grow-out coop. So the young pullets get put in the grow-out coop because the older ones will kill them, which is kind of sad and weird, but chickens do that, okay? So the grow-out coop was obviously not as secure as I would have liked. And that's how that first cat got four of my prize grow out. Then the female came in, and she came in the run during the day, broad daylight, and took one of my young hens. So a friend of mine sent me a half a gallon of wolf urine. It's in a jug. My God,
I have several follow-up questions on how you get a wolf to pee in a jug and or in a certain place and collection methods, several, but that's a whole different show.
I will explain that.
Okay.
I will explain that. Apparently, there are wolf conservancies all over the United States, and they walk around and catch the urine and sell it. they're obviously domesticated in some way because they're in a rescue, and
I
they
can't believe
the
that's
urine.
A job.
If you love the animals and you want to fund being able to conserve them, I suppose you'll pretty much do anything, won't you? Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, but since then, I have a guest, and she has two male dogs. One of them is neutered. One of them is not. And I will tell you that, okay, so the bobcat saw Nala, my Malinois, and had the chicken in her mouth and dropped it and ran. I don't think the cat knew that Nala was on the other side of the fence, but because Nala hit that fence and just teeth and snarls and I'll kill you, and scared the crap out of this bobcat. She dropped the chicken and jumped up the tree and out. But since then, we have a male dog and in the yard peeing everywhere, and no, we have not sighted the bobcat since. So I'm hoping that the smell of that large male animal predator, which is what the bobcat will smell, to her, it's a large dog. They know what that smells like. We have not had any bobcats. So that's the good news.
And there's a Ring camera, too, so we would have seen it. If there was a bobcat, we would have seen it.
No question about it. I'm monitoring those cameras. I won't say 24 hours a day, but certainly if I'm asleep, they're still filming, and I have not seen, and I have bobcat on this camera 20 times, okay?
Yeah.
I have the kill on, but Nala scared
it's
that
so
dog
bad.
So,
Joey laughed at it.
Lord,
he thought it was funny.
Men are so weird.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so as far as I can tell, the bobcat has not been back since Nala scared it off / Benny the male unneutered boy has been peeing everywhere all over the yard. So you guys can think of that. The other piece of good news that I have is that I have 24 eggs in the incubator. I call them my antidepressants. Any of you that follow Danielle on Facebook can see the picture of our beautiful grandma peach tree. So even though it's gloomy and gray outside right now, so Danielle says they seeded the clouds, it looks like rain. My peach tree is beautiful, so it feels like we're moving in the spring-like direction because we have baby chicks on the way and peach tree is in. Oh, Lord.
Elizabeth? She's coming.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
I am here.
Sorry.
No worries.
I have some sad news.
Okay,
my
you've got
just
about...
shut down.
You've got nine
what
minutes before you can give us any bad any bad news, you know, or after, until you can't give us any bad news. So you've got 9 minutes. Go on. What's your bad news?
Okay. Well, the bad news is my computer just shut down.
Wait, wait,
so here's what I'm going to do. My computer shut down, but I am going to give us good news. And this was, you know, where I always start is on Pedogate. And apparently two men were arrested in Florida for human trafficking. They actually arrested 200 people in Florida, but two of them were a youth pastor and a foster parent. So why is that good news? Obviously, because these guys are off the streets. And second, the more evidence that we have that the foster care system, the child protective services system is as corrupt as Danielle and I know it is, the better. So a lot of times when I do the good news report, there's some kind of creepy news that I give because it's terrible that there are pedophiles in the freaking world. But for me, all bringing it to the light, things that are done in dark. Just checking. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was having some microphone issues. I'm sorry. Can you hear, Mom?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. Yes. But I think Elizabeth listening to some jazz or something. Just checking.
I know that. Yeah, that was a microphone issue I just fixed too. So proceed.
So the other piece of quote unquote good news about Pedogate is a while back there was a big dust up about Balenciaga, right? Because they
yeah.
posted some photos that were shocking and ugly and disgusting and presented as fashion. These images were
gross.
Of children in BDSM, which is Danielle, what does BDSM stand for?
It's bondage. Okay, B is D is dominance, sadism, masochism.
Okay, BDSM is shorthand for kink, and it has to do
yeah.
with pain and torture and control and bondage, as
yeah.
is in the name.
Yeah.
Anyway, so these photos shocked the conscience of the world. Now, keep in mind, we all knew that the fashion industry was rife with disgusting images, but obviously it's you know, because the mainstream media doesn't highlight it. You know, your next door neighbor didn't know that they would ever do something disgusting like that. Well, they got in big trouble for it. They lost a bunch of contracts. They lost a bunch of stars. You know that you know, they said they would never buy their products again. I mean, they got a black eye, which is good. And so one would think they would stop this nonsense. Well, there's another one, and this one is Balenciaga again, and it's of a baby posed as a dog and being walked on a leash. And so they're at it again, but they won't get away with it this time because everybody's like, no way, you're not going to get away with this crap. Some interesting news about Ghislaine Maxwell. She's hired the same attorney that represented Harvey Weinstein. So talk about a world that's incestuous, right? She hired Harvey Weinstein's attorney, which, by the way, he lost his case, so I don't know why she would hire this guy. But she filed a $10 million appeal against her sex abuse conviction. And I don't know what the grounds for the appeal would be. And also something to do with her last-ditch divorce settlement with her former husband. Ghislaine Maxwell is launching a $10 million appeal. God, I can't stand technology. It just sucks so bad.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I know. As she against her 20-year jail term for sexual abuse after reaching a last-ditch divorce settlement with her former husband. It says the British socialite needed money both to pay an outstanding legal fee of $878,302 and fund the lawyers working on her appeal, which needed to be filed by the end of last month. A breakthrough in talks with Bongerson has drawn a line under the acrimonious dispute. So she's fighting with this ex-husband to see how much money she's going to get because she wants to fund her appeal. Anyway, so it doesn't say if she actually filed the appeal, just that she was fighting with the husband in order to get the money to file the appeal. Okay. And so we go back to Ghislaine Maxwell. This was filed by Technofog. So there are so many wonderful anons, A-N-O-N-S, and these are what most people describe as QAnon, but I see them as people who go out and research. They wear aluminum foil hats as a part of their daily costume, and they go digging around in places that the mainstream media never will. One of them is a guy named Technofog. And he says, a heads up on the upcoming unsealing of the names of the John Does from the Ghislaine Maxwell civil trial. They're coming. Good news. Typical of the media, there's been a lot of speculation and false hope about what will be revealed. Let's see if we can set the record straight. For starters, not all of the John Does, not even a majority, are alleged to have been part of the Epstein trafficking network. Many are not alleged to have done anything salacious, such as John Doe 118. And many of the names have already been disclosed, either through media interviews, that would be John Doe 3, 4, and 8, testimony at Maxwell's criminal trial, John Doe 5, or because of their deposition testimony, John Doe 7. Other names were previously revealed by the media, John Doe 22, 23, and 110, are known because they previously investigated Epstein, 117 and 130. Yet others were unknown to the parties, John Doe 137. This doesn't mean that there won't be anything of interest. Some of the individuals to be unsealed are alleged to have engaged in serious wrongdoing, such as John Doe 113 and 136. I wonder who they are. I just want to temper expectations as some are promising things that are not true. Once the names are unsealed, which may take weeks or a couple of months, we will be posting them in detail and explaining what they did and why they matter. So those names that everybody has been waiting for in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial are coming. Can you guys hear me okay? How's my audio?
Yep. I can, yeah, I can hear you. Good. Yeah, you're good. I'm just like,
right.
This is very like anticlimactic for me because like I've already told you the names, you know, like for years.
Right.
I've told you the names. So it's like, okay, yeah. So you're going to see it come out in a court case. Then what? Then what? I mean, so
that
now.
That's the problem.
Now you believe it? Now you believe it when I've been telling you this for years?
Okay, so here's what happens. This is that tree falls in the – okay,
mm-hmm.
Because just like these anons, Technofog, okay, most of the world doesn't even know who Technofog is. But these people and you, people like you, you're an anon, Danielle, have been
mm-hmm.
shouting this stuff from the rooftops that these are all a bunch of wicked pedophiles and that there are sex trafficking. And, you know, if the tree falls in the forest and it does, and there's no one to hear it, did it really fall? Okay, so, at some point, they're going to have to listen. That's all I know.
Yeah, I know.
And,
I know, but you see what I'm saying. Like, and whatever, I was actually, like, really kind of irritated at first at the Netflix Epstein documentary. It's like, okay, so now that it's on Netflix, next you're going to watch that what that cuties, right? Where there's like, you know, children, like, you know, dancing very
yeah.
way too suggestively, you know what I mean? Like, so what is the agenda? Like I was mad about it at first, but then but really honestly, like the end game is for people to wake up to this truth. So
yeah.
You know, I'm a little impatient, but, you know, I guess whatever helps the masses wake up to this very difficult subject, whether it be Netflix documentaries or the actual QAnon movement or, you know, or the satanic panic, or as the media put it back in the 70s, you know, it's the sooner that we come to terms with what's going on, the sooner we can cure it and get past it and unite really on the fact that this is something that people will unite over, is protecting children.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. This is a dark to light issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been concealed. It's been kept secret. It's been kept in the dark, okay, except for those of us that are quote unquote awake, okay? And at some point, yes, that will be the deal breaker, Danielle, because when people mm-hmm. realize that children are being sexualized, that why do you think everybody's so overwrought about this trans issue in the schools? Okay,
mm-hmm.
they're sexualizing children, and it won't be stood for, because you start threatening people's children, that's when they will wake up and roar.
Yes.
Right. So some good news about the 2020 election, interestingly enough, apparently they have the evidence that Justin Trudeau, the Liberal Prime Minister of Canada, finds himself up against increasingly vocal demands that he be ousted. They're going to impeach this guy. Opposition to his authoritarian regime is growing. Concerns about a sham inquiry into his abuse of the Emergency Act and revelations that Canada's spy agency warned about communist Chinese interference, here we go, in Canadian elections. Trudeau did nothing to stop it. Chinese diplomats quietly issued warnings to friendly influential Canadians in early 2022, advising them to reduce their contact with federal politicians to avoid being caught up in a foreign interference investigation by Canada's spy agency. Apparently, China helped Justin Trudeau to get elected by a fraudulent election. Remember those elections, the fraudulent elections that don't ever happen? It happened in Canada, and they have the evidence. According to the report, secret and top secret Canadian Security Intelligence Service documents viewed by the Globe and Mail reveal how China sought to protect its network of Canadian friends, CCP assets, and apparently one of the CCP friends is none other than Liberal Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. The Globe reported on Friday how China employed a sophisticated strategy to seek the return of a minority Liberal government and to defeat conservative politicians considered to be unfriendly to Beijing in the 2021 election. So they're uncovering that foreign governments are interfering in elections. Okay, so there's my buddy Archbishop Vigano, but I'm going to do him last. So this is an interesting one. See you in court, criminals. Pfizer whistleblower case is being taken to the next level. Brooke Jackson, the clinical trial supervisor who blew the whistle on Pfizer over its testing – sorry, Nala's playing Frisbee.
I was wondering what that was. I was like, is Elizabeth tap dancing or is that Nala with Frisbee in her mouth?
No, that's Nala with the Frisbee. She's playing with it all by herself at least.
it's also an accessory. She wears it as a hat.
She wears it as a hat, yes. Brooke Jackson, the clinical trial supervisor who blew the whistle on Pfizer over its testing of the COVID vaccines, has announced that a court date has been assigned to her case. So Pfizer is going to court. It would be held on March 1st, 2023. That's just a preliminary hearing, I'm sure, at the Jack Brooks Federal Courthouse in Beaumont, Texas. The critical point, all parties are required to attend in person. She said, see you in court, criminals. She provided a copy of the legal document showing the court date and location. So Pfizer is about to get sued for the COVID vaccine trials. So more to follow, I'm sure. More lawsuits flying. Half the states in the United States have sued the Biden administration over, wait for this, targeting new rule targeting farmers. And wait a minute. WOTUS. Do you guys remember WOTUS pop quiz?
What's WOTUS?
Mm.
You remember?
Can you spell? Hold on. Can I buy a vowel? Can you spell it? What? Maybe I'm.
Waters of the United States. Do you remember the WOTUS law that Obama put in? It got struck down by the Supreme Court. Apparently, though, Joe Biden has put it back into place. The EPA is busy taking care of my pond on my property instead of the Ohio River like it's supposed to.
Right.
A group of 24
exactly.
states has filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration's EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, asserting that a newly implemented environmental regulation is unlawful and would have detrimental effects on their residents. The lawsuit was filed in federal court on Thursday. The states claim that this regulation targets farmers and landowners, violation of the law. West Virginia, Georgia, Iowa, and North Dakota are leading a group of 24 states in the lawsuit against the EPA and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The lawsuit claims that the recently introduced WOTUS, Waters of the United States regulation, which was revealed in December, undermines the state's jurisdiction over water bodies and the surrounding land. The lawsuit specifically targets the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers. So here's why Ohio happened. Tell me why you think I said that the train derailment into the Ohio River, what it has to do with this lawsuit. Make the connection.
Oh, I didn't know there was going to be a quiz. I'm going to have to pass. Elizabeth?
She's muted, isn't she?
Let's see.
Oh, no, she is.
I unmuted myself.
All right.
I don't know with the law, but you know, there was a lot of whistleblowing coming on Twitter about this. There was a lot of knowledge about this, and it just happened to this year.
Yeah, there's a FEMA law or something.
Hubris
yeah.
is
so here's
and the lawsuits will be coming for this, but. I don't know. What correlation do you see?
If these states can't protect their waterways, well, then the federal government will need to step in and protect them for them.
Mm-hmm.
We have a contaminated river.
In what way? Did they show us how they're going to do that with Ohio?
Yeah, they did. And let me see if I can find it. Mom, continue, but I might jump in when I find the actual law.
So, the WOTUS law, though, says that even if I have a trickle of a creek on my property, that they get to regulate it, that all the waters of the United States are,
this goes back to the Bundys.
Say it again?
This goes way back to the Bundys. That was what their big thing was.
Yes.
Overreach
yes.
of the government
so
and
Obama,
their water rights.
Obama tried to put in WOTUS when he was president. It got struck down by the Supreme Court, and here they are again. And what they're trying to say is that they have dominion, the federal government has dominion over every ounce
yeah.
of water in the United States because
here it is.
We're
yeah.
the only one. Yeah.
I found it.
Yep.
So this
we're
is.
The only one. Go ahead, read it.
I'm going to go on
okay,
record
so
and say. That's not a good idea, but go ahead.
Right. So
I agree.
So basically this person is saying she does not cite the law, but she says the laws governing Agenda 2030 land development allow governments to seize polluted land and move their residents into smart cities. Important to note, if the land plus water around you is completely poisoned, you don't get to opt out of the smart city model coming down the pike. Are you starting to understand?
Isn't this interesting? Because, look at how well, this wasn't an accident now, was it? You know, there was some info put out that a week before this happened, the EPA changed their levels of toxicity for this thing, the chloride that was
yes.
spilled. From 100 mpgs to 100,000 is now the acceptable level. It used to be 100. And so, of course, yeah. with their testing, their new testing standards of what is healthy and what's not, everything's okay in Ohio. But it's like there's so many little things that say this was planned, orchestrated, surprise. Is it like a surprise?
I don't think everything is okay in Ohio.
It's organized for the end result of, you know, they've got what they call 15-minute cities. Smart cities. You can't go 15 minutes out of your little circle. It's like a Polish ghetto in the UK, and they're rebelling against it. They're kicking down the borders and the little turnstiles, but they expect these people to live like the Jews in the Polish ghetto, and that's what they're setting up with these ridiculous overreach. No one should be in charge of our air and our water or our food, for God's sake.
Okay.
Boom.
So Steve Bannon went on his show on Friday and said the Biden regime authorized the controlled release. They also authorized the controlled burn. He said, we need to get the EPA director in front of Congress like on Monday. So if you guys have never listened to War Room, listen Friday, because he cites the evidence that they created the mess. So-called cleaned up the mess. It's a mess. Okay. Mm. And along those lines, we have a Congresswoman, Marjorie Taylor Greene, saying that Biden will be impeached, that they're going to file articles of impeachment for the President of the United States.
I love her, but that's a good song.
There are many. She cites two or three different articles of impeachment that they're going to file, in Ohio is one of them.
Good.
The border is okay. All right, so here we go.
The
way I always finish up is with my buddy Archbishop Vigano. Tucker Carlson says it's time to call out the New World Order and hold globalists accountable for their crimes. Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano sent the Gateway Pundit Tucker Carlson and America a message regarding this and the Church of the Environment that have served to destroy the presence of the Catholic religion in society, replacing it with a Luciferian paganism of the New World Order. Archbishop Maria Vigano shared with us on a video and a text which he comments on the recent Tucker Carlson monologue regarding the Church of the Environment. He says that Tucker's point of view is very interesting and deserves to be used to demonstrate how the secular state has served to destroy the presence of the Catholic religion in society, replacing it with Luciferian paganism. He said, we must continue our common efforts to publicly denounce with determination the coup of the globalist sect, because our very survival is at stake. God bless and protect you all. Carlson recalls that the American Constitution prohibits any state religion, but for some time the governing Democratic Party has imposed on the American people the globalist cult with its green agenda, its woke dogmas, its condemnations and cancel culture, its priests of the World Health Organization, the prophets of the World Economic Forum, a religion in all respects, all-encompassing not only for the life of the individuals who practice it, but also in the life of the nation that publicly confesses it, adopts laws and sentences to it, and inspires education and every governmental action around it. In the name of a globalist religion, its adherents demand that all citizens behave in accordance with the morality of the New World Order, accepting uncritically and even with an attitude of devout submission to its religious authority, the doctrine defined ex cathedra by the Davos Sanhedrin. So Sanhedrin were the muckety mucks that ended up putting Jesus to death, just for reference. So that is my good news report. I love to finish with Archbishop Vigano because he's a cute little priesty guy, and he is very wise to what's happening about the New World Order. So
do you have anything? By chance, do you have anything on any of the new Twitter files that were released or no?
I texted it to you, and I couldn't find it because I was having technology issues. The new Twitter files, though, how they've gone for weeks without the mainstream media covering it, but when they found out that Donald Trump had asked Twitter to take off Chrissy Teigen's tweet, he asked for them to censor her tweets, which we all could tell a story or two about Chrissy Teigen, I'm sure, speaking of the pedophile network. And I get the day was filled with stories about how President Trump asked Twitter to censor Chrissy Teigen. Not one fucking word about sitting senators and congressmen censoring anyone else, but let Chrissy Teigen, that foul-mouthed wretch, let her one of her tweets get asked to be taken down, and they're on it. They're on their jobs.
Yeah.
So the latest Twitter files is about that. Is about the clown show that is the media, and the way that they have completely ignored all other 15 Twitter files, but that let Chrissy Teigen's voice attempt to silence her, because you know what she? Oh Lord, her tweets are awful. I don't know if you've ever been on Twitter and read some of the nastiness that's on there, but certainly there were about five or six of them where she talked about engaging in pedophilia.
Yeah.
And like it was no big deal. She was sexually attracted to a little girl on television, your cuties or whatever it was. And she said it in graphic terms. And
ew.
There were other tweets too that turned my stomach. And so let her, you know, potentially be censored, and the media is up in arms. They're all disgusting as far as I'm concerned. It wasn't the way I wanted to end the good news report, but the Lord has this covered. Okay, well, then I won't. I'm going to add one thing. I don't know if any of you in this audience pray. I know my daughter does. I think Elizabeth does. But there is a revival happening in Asbury, Kentucky, a real one. And I would just love for you guys to pray for that revival, for many people to come to know God and to surrender themselves to them. And it's been going on for about 2 weeks. It's a move of the Holy Spirit, and there's a bunch of beautiful young kids that have just been in the church at the college, Asbury University, and they've been praying for 2 weeks and worshiping for 2 weeks, and that's it. That's all they've been doing is singing, praying, and worshiping. And there have been thousands.
Can I send them some seeds?
Say it again.
Can I send them some seeds? Do you think?
You should. You should. We should have that.
I know they're not wanting money. They said this is not political or anything like that. It's not about money or but maybe seeds.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can get a hold of them.
God's still sitting on his throne. He hasn't surrendered one ounce of his authority. And so the climate change people that think that they can change the weather by shooting stuff into the clouds, make me sick, need to go sit down somewhere and read their Bibles.
Yes, agreed.
Have a blessed week. I will see you guys next week, all right?
Okay, love you.
I love you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, Elizabeth, first I have to give a little bit of a shout-out. Have you been watching what Lily's been doing this week? Elizabeth. Are you there? Hello.
I was muted. I'm sorry. I'm talking.
That's okay. No, but have you seen what Lily's been doing this week?
I have, and it's outstanding. And I think, you know, she's going to have her own little business. You know,
yeah.
She'll be a a page that comes through, like the, you know, we've got to get her a cool name for her little business. But she's got fantastic soaps and cute little jars of this, that, and whatever. And if I said if I had money, I would definitely order some because it looks fantastic. And
yeah.
That's exactly what we all need to do. It's not – I'm going to listen up. I'll be nice. But it's easy. We can all do this. It's easy.
Yeah,
to do.
Absolutely.
And, of course, we all have our own talents. But she's our soap and tincture maker. Fantastic. You know, we can all have our little skills that we add to our community and inspire each other to go back to the basics. It's not that hard to make our own stuff.
It's not.
And
to make higher quality stuff than what we would get in most places.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is kind of a sad week for me. Kind of hard to talk about.
Sorry.
What happened? So my favorite tea store went out of business.
I don't know what that is.
Tea? Like loose, like
what kind of store?
Tea store? It's called
tea.
It's called tea.
Oh my god.
The letter T.
Yeah.
The number two.
Yeah, like
T-E-A-S. But there's only four of these stores in the whole country. One of them just happened to be right down the street from me. So it was really, really hard for me to go back and buy my, you know, stuff at 50% off. So I went a lot. I got a lot of tea this week. I kind of stock up. But I'm also looking at the ingredients lists on these teas. And it's, you know, all of these things that we could possibly make ourselves, you know, and then that got me thinking, how hard is it to grow tea leaves? You know what I mean? Like the one step further that I think we all need to start thinking about at some point is, you know, growing this stuff ourselves, right?
Right.
And yeah, and then so on and so forth, you know?
So
we could do it. So for the same way.
Yeah, but, you know, it kind of like when you look at, like, the rise and fall of the great collapse of civilization way back when, they had the trade routes. There's certain places that had those things, the teas and the certain minerals and whatnot. You couldn't grow tea everywhere. That's why it was a very – spices and teas were a hot commodity, and they came from far, far away. So have you looked into how easy it is to grow a tea? Just anywhere, because we are very well. We fall back on the fact that it's always there, and I had to chuckle because I'm like, look at our first world problems. We have a tea store. Like it's like there's three different teas. You know, there's like the black, the orange, and the green tea, and it's on a shelf at every store. But you've got your foo-foo store that you go to.
Yeah, but I mean, no, that's not necessarily true. Like, if you want to do this without pesticides, like, you can't just go to, you know, your local grocery store and grab a, you know, a box of tea from the shelf and think that it's not full of pesticides, you know? Like, if
are you guaranteed that everywhere?
What's that?
I don't buy into that. Are you guaranteed that? Because I don't subscribe to that way of thinking. I would never buy bottled water because I'm like, it's a scam. It's no different than what we have. It's just bottled and you're buying, you're throwing money away. And the same thing, it's like, look, they don't
as opposed
know
to what? Where else do you, where, well, okay, where, let's just play devil's advocate.
Anyway.
Where else would you get water?
Out of the tap. I drank tap water forever.
Oh,
I didn't buy. I was one of those people that was like, this is like, no, because you don't have a guarantee that it's any cleaner coming out of their little filter than it is out of the municipal cold kitchen sink, and the bathroom water is always better, right? That's how I think. And the whole same thing with, they don't grow anything without fertilizers and chemicals, and I'm like, where do you think you're getting, just because they tell you it's organic and that, I don't think it is. I really question that. That's why I'm not really like a connoisseur of that. It's kind of like I just kind of go for taste and never read the labels. I'm not one of those people.
Yeah.
But I get it. I get it that there are a lot of people who are.
Well,
but I don't
I
think
mean,
it's a huge deal breaker?
When it comes to pesticides, though, you know, pesticides can really screw up people, you know. So that's all I'm saying is that if I can find a version of it that is halfway, you know, decently priced and doesn't have all this other stuff in it, I'll go that way.
But but are they lying to you?
Well, let's go the opposite way. I know they tell us what they put in our tap water, and like that's another thing is that people all over San Diego are getting kidney stones because of things that's in the water. There's definitely fluoride in our water. They put fluoride in our water.
Yeah.
I don't even want my dogs drinking tap water. I put my dog's water through a filter before I give it to them. And my family certainly doesn't. We go through, you know, probably 20 gallons of water every week and a half for a family of four, but we don't do anything with the tap water. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just, I don't know. I don't trust
it. Distillant that I use now. And I'm like, there's so much crap. It's like, you know, I don't know how clean this is. And it's almost I don't know. I never put that up on a list of like really, really important things. I read an article about arthritis and what was it? Fluoridated arthritis. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll stop drinking tap water and see if I feel better. And I did feel better. So that's what switched me over. But I'm not going to – I guess my point is we are under such a blanket of – toxic. Nothing is, even the rain, if it's just organic, the rain that comes from the sky has so many chemicals that gets into the plant. Organic.
Right.
And there's going to be
right.
something yucky in it, you know?
Right. Which is why I did say, to be fair, I think we should maybe start looking at how to grow indoors, you know?
Yeah.
So that we can completely control the environment.
We can become the. It's time to have, what do they call those little pods, the eco pods that they want to sprout up on Mars? We need them here because we.
Well, we just need we need grow houses. Yeah. We need all of the people who you know. Honestly, like it's funny because when I put up there, we need to start learning how to grow inside. You know, use grow lights. Somebody was like, so we can toki or something like that. And I'm like, okay, dude, if you can grow weed inside, you can grow tomatoes inside.
Exactly. Hydroponic vegetables is the next big thing, you know? Yeah, exactly.
You could do it with dirt, too. It doesn't have to be with water. But you still have to it's quite a science. You have to completely or as close to what God gives us for free, you have to mimic that in a lab. You have to, you know, make sure that the pH of the soil is right for the plant that you're growing. You know, like blueberries, I think, like, want a more acidic soil than normal, so you have to adjust for that in your pH. Yeah, like all kinds of stuff. And honestly, if you were an old school weed grower or even a new school weed grower, if you can grow decent weed inside, you can grow anything inside. That's my rant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Indiana has very good blueberries. In Illinois, we don't have blueberries. We go to Indiana to pick them. So it's kind of interesting. It's what the soil on the
It has to do with the pH of the soil.
What goes where? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And same, like, look back to the how easy is it going to be to grow tea, which generally speaking, does tea still come from China?
I think it comes from England as well, right? Doesn't it? I don't know. Or did England just colonize some parts?
They all get it from China as far as I don't know. And I know nothing, apparently. But I know, like, you know, tobacco. Grows really good in the South, different parts of states, and not so good other places. So those are things that we kind of like are kind of stuck. And I wonder how easy it is to grow the things that we think we need. Coffee beans, coffee, tea, tobacco. We're very healthy now, aren't we? But those are things.
Here we go. All right, just a quimple, a very simple Google search says it can – tea plants and can grow in hardiness zones from zone 4 to zone 9. And I'm in 9, or am I 10? I might be 10. Hold on, I think I'm in 10. I'm in 10.
We have like 3 months of growing, and that's it here. Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Well, 8, 9, and 10. Let's see. Hold on. Let me see. Am I 9 or 10? So zip code. Growing hardiness zone. I can tell you if you want to tell me your zip code. If not, no problem.
Oh. 60120. Let's have all the crazy people come.
Okay, I'm writing it down. Okay. Okay, hold on. So I'm doing mine first, which is 92110 is 9. Okay, so we can grow. Oh, it's no, it's 10A. Maybe we just planted in the winter, you know, who knows? And let me see yours. Hold on, I'll do yours. Is
I think, you know, I was looking into ordering some natural licorice roots.
Yeah.
I read an article about how
that grows wild around here. That's a native plant here.
Well, this is more of a, it's like a stick.
Yep.
That you will chew and it clean your teeth somehow. They use it in Africa. And
yeah,
they're like,
I'm
you
telling
can
you, there's licorice plants all over the place. When we go for dog walks around here, it smells like black licorice.
Oh, you better start picking it, and you can make money. Because I ordered off of Amazon, and every single one that I tried to order, they couldn't put it in my cart. Because I'm like, oh, they will not allow us to buy this from this person. I'm wondering if it's, are they out of the country? Is it from a restricted country? They don't let them buy and trade with us? And there was only
okay, you
one
are, by the way, growing hardiness
order.
Zone 10B, 10A, 10B.
10A.
No, I'm sorry. That's me. 5B is you.
Mm-hmm.
You are 5B. I am 10A or 9B, depending. So, yeah, we can both
tell you right
now.
I am going to be one of the people who order from you guys and have it shipped to my house. Because I've gotten into that old lady, lazy stage of my life that I'm not going to grow.
That's fine. That's fine.
There are enough nice little businesses that do have a nice, like I ordered this herbal tea from, God, who is it from? So I should get up. I'm going to get up and plug this company because she has mullein tea and it comes in spurts. And it's fantastic. It really is really good. And I buy it from a little company. And that solves my problem there. Here, let's do a plug for herbal tea therapy, mullein tea, lung detox. And, she's got a nice little business going. Much like Lily's doing. This is exactly what we need to have.
Like so. And I'm gonna have to put it in a special order because, like, okay, there's this store that I love, and I will have to, I'm sure, stop one of these days going to them. But it's Lush, and it's supposed to be ethically sourced, organic, blah, blah, blah. Soaps, body, massage bars, body wash, face wash, things like that. Mm-hmm. Totally woke crap. But there's one product that I just love, and it's basically just like, almond shells and in like shea butter or cocoa butter, one of the two, I forget.
Yeah.
But, and it just exfoliates and then it leaves it like, you know, your skin feeling like you just put lotion on it. I'm sure Lily can do that. I don't have to give these blue-haired woke assholes that want to discriminate against me when I go into their store. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to give them my money. I'd much rather give Lily my money, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And I do the same thing. Whatever appeals to me, I order a lot online. And I do think that those are the little guys, not the big corporations, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
more so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my money goes, is to the little guy. Because they're not going to take over the world. They're trying to.
No,
I'm sure they're not
exactly.
owned by BlackRock. You know, and that's what we need to pull away in our own. If there's, you know, we got to go down fighting, and fighting through our little acts of noncompliance, whether it be, Lily's here. Hey, Lily.
Yay.
Popped in on the chat. But through where we give our money.
Lily, we're giving you a plug. I don't know if you're listening too, but. We gave you a plug tonight. She's not listening because she's just jumped into the chat. Okay, all right, never mind.
And I think when she sets up a business page, we will promote it, and then people can go to her page, and that's how she starts her own little business. Because I think it looks so professional and good, and I would be like, not even hesitate in promoting it because it looks good. It's not like you know, somebody just.
Oh, that's her,
know.
I think.
Yeah. You are welcome.
Family?
But that is how we regain our power, by going local, pulling away from the oligarchs. Yeah. And if you can't figure out how to do it, there's somebody out who can. And I like that.
Okay, well,
Everybody.
I think this is Lily. I don't know. Maybe it's not Lily. Hi, caller. If you're not Lily, hello.
Yeah.
I want to play.
Pop them back in.
I have not played a Russell Brand in a long time.
I like him. I like him a lot.
Me too, and especially when he's like on our side.
He's another one that people are like, anybody who seems to make some sense and is getting some traction, everybody wants to poo-poo them. I love him. I've always loved him.
Controlled opposition.
I tell you that, I love him.
Controlled opposition.
And, you know, but he was... Anybody that can go on to, he was on Morning Joe and decimated them. And that's my favorite YouTube. We'll have to pull it sometime. Maybe I can find it. And he just, I'm going to look it up, and if we can play another one.
Hello.
He is so good. He tells it like it is.
This is Lily, right? Are you there? Hello? Caller?
I don't hear it, anybody else.
Hello.
We have a phantom caller.
Is that Zach?
That's me.
Oh, can I give you a link? Can I give you a link to call in for? All right, you're sounding like a tin can. So.
Connection, my friend. But yeah, play that Russell Brand. I'm gonna pull this up. He was eloquent and a. I've loved him forever, and I don't care what.
And he's the first person, I have to say, the first major person who's been doing this, who's actually, given the conspiracy, quote-unquote, conspiracy theorist credit. You were right. He actually said on the show, here we go, you were right. So that was a little, nicety. So we'll do this, and I'm going to send Zach a link so he can join via computer. So... But let's play this, and then we'll get
he's
back
really
with that.
Good. Awesome. 3, 2, 1,
okay.
If you're ready.
Yeah.
Do you know what I miss? The pandemic. It was brilliant, wasn't it? The $5 trillion wealth transfer. Can't remember which direction it went. The depression. The closure of small businesses. Wouldn't it be mad if we found out that the very people that were recommending the measures and medicines for that pandemic were the people that benefited? That would actually make me quite angry. Hey! Hello there, you 6 million awakening wonders. Thanks for joining me on this voyage towards truth and freedom. Thanks for staying steady and not for going, oh, the pandemic, that was ages ago. Well, now guess what we can tell you. Some of the people that were most front and center, visible, lionized, celebrated, and hero worshipped throughout that pandemic, guess what? They profited from it. They made new money that they would not otherwise have made had it not been for that pandemic. And for me, that means they profited from the pandemic. Let's get into this story. Hold on to your hat and keep your body hold tightly shut. Okay, for a start, do you remember when Bill Gates said this?
This is a great vaccine. It looks like almost all the vaccines are going to succeed. It is great science, great industrial manufacturing.
Says all media, nothing.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission.
That's right. That's what it's doing.
Mainstream media, just nodding away.
To other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
All nice and normal, where there's a $5 trillion wealth transfer to the most powerful interest in the world. Let's see how that happened. Bill Gates secured hundreds of millions of dollars in profits from his foundation's impeccably timed investment in BioNTech, the Pfizer partner for its mRNA COVID shots. I'm going to invest in BioNTech. Now, before dramatically reversing course and proceeding to openly cast doubt on the whole of mRNA technology. I just went for dinner with that mRNA technology. I didn't know what it was doing. Gates turned his $55 million vaccine investment in Pfizer partner BioNTech into over $550 million in just under 2 years. But before you get cynical, think of the amount of help that he's going to be able to give people. The Gates Foundation banked roughly $260 million in cash from the stocks, with $242 million being untaxed profit, given that the money was invested through the foundation. That doesn't account for the additional 2 million shares that the Gates Foundation sold prior to that from its original pre-IPO equity investment. In the Q3 2021 sale, the Gates Foundation secured a return of over 15 times more than its initial investment. Over the next quarter, Gates unloaded over 1.4 million shares of CureVac, banking an estimated $50 million. Bloody hell, this is such good news for philanthropy everywhere. We're all going to be fine. Bill Gates made 2022's biggest charitable donation. See, I told you you were wrong to question Bill Gates. Biggest charitable donation. How much have you given to charity? Do you fly around the world in a private jet telling people not to fly around the world on private jets and giving big charity? No, I didn't think you did. Right, so shut up then. Topping the Chronicle of Philanthropy's annual list, Gates, who is topping that list of sly bastards? No, I'm sorry, did I say sly? Philanthropy list. Who's topping that philanthropy list? Topping the Chronicle of Philanthropy's annual list, Gates gave $5 billion to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to back the grant makers' work in global health development, policy and advocacy, and U.S. education. So let's put aside our cynicism, because he's made the biggest charitable donation in the world, $5 billion, and he's given that to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Wait a minute. If I got this pen and I gave it to Russell Brand, wait a minute, I've still got the pen, look! Look, there it is! In my hand! Sounds a bit, to the layman, probably my lack of education, that Bill Gates gave a donation to himself, untaxed, and that can't be the reason, would it? Hold on a minute. Is this whole thing a tax evasion scheme? Answer in the chat. I'm certainly not saying that. Another great hero of the pandemic. You love him. I love him. We all love him. Let's, in fact, dance around singing his name and get badges of him on ourselves. It's Anthony Fauci.
You want to be a dead end to the virus. So when the virus gets to you, you stop it.
Yeah. Get that virus and stop that there. Get the vaccine, it stops transmission. And certainly no one's going to question that.
Not on this platform.
An investigation by Open the Books found that Anthony Fauci and the NIH received and hid $350 million of royalties from pharma companies. In 2021, the National Institutes of Health, Anthony Fauci's employer, doled out $30 billion in government grants to roughly 56,000 recipients. However, Open the Books found hundreds of millions of dollars in payments also flow the other way. Oh, wow, like a revolving door between the NIH and the pharmaceutical companies. That sounds weird. These are royalty payments from third-party payers, think pharmaceutical companies, for example, back to the NIH and individual NIH scientists. Well, that was back then. It was a crazy time for all of us, the pandemic. I remember having a mental breakdown. So let's put all of that behind us and all of your suffering as well, because Anthony Fauci now is showing his true colours with his Anthony Fauci is charging as much as $100,000 for speaking engagements months after leaving his position in the Biden administration. Yeah, but remember when he would stand behind Trump and sort of go... That's a real hero. The former director of the NIAID's listing on leading motivational speakers is listed under the motivational speakers and healthcare speakers categories. Certainly motivated me to do a lot of things. I got quite cross. Were there any voices that were more significant than the voice of Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci during the pandemic? They set the narrative. They set the measures. They ultimately decided what direction things went in. The only voices of rebuttal and dissent came from what was called conspiracy theories, you know, like Joe Rogan having Robert Alone on and stuff like that. Now let's get into this article, which takes us the whole way through the pandemic from a position of good faith belief in the measures, i.e. it's a unique situation, we've got to do what we can to handle it, to where we are now. This is from that conspiracy theorist journal. Oh, Newsweek. And in it, a madcap conspiracy theorist, oh, Kevin Bass, MD, PhD student at medical school in Texas. He's in his seventh year. Sorry, I get confused when it's not convenient and I sometimes jumble those terms up. As a medical student and researcher, I staunchly supported the efforts of the public health authorities when it came to COVID-19. I believe that the authorities responded to the largest public health crisis of our lives with compassion, diligence, and scientific expertise. I was with them when they called for lockdowns, vaccines, and boosters. I was wrong. We in the scientific community were wrong, and it cost lives. Remember all the times you said, I wish that they would just have an open conversation. I wish they would admit when they were wrong. I wish that they would admit that following the science is sometimes difficult because the science is a subset of corporatist interests. Natural immunity, vitamin D, none of those things were being discussed. Why? What was being discussed? Is there anything about what was being discussed and suggested that ties it into another narrative? Profitable? I can see now that the scientific community, from the CDC to the WHO to the FDA and their representatives, repeatedly overstated the evidence and misled the public about its own views and policies. Jude! There's your moment, conspiracy theorists. Hope you enjoyed it. Now get on and believe what you're supposed to believe about war or China or balloons or whatever, including on natural versus artificial immunity, school closures and disease transmission, aerosol spread, mask mandates, and vaccine effectiveness and safety, especially among the young. Basically, all of it. All of these were scientific mistakes at the time, not in hindsight. Amazingly, some of these obfuscations continue to the present day. There are things that are true that we are not allowed to say on YouTube, because YouTube take WHO guidelines as their own guidelines. I don't know what that is, but it ain't good. That's why we're on Rumble. But perhaps more important than any individual error was how inherently flawed the overall approach of the scientific community was and continues to be. It was flawed in a way that undermined its efficacy and resulted in thousands, if not millions, of preventable deaths. Hold on a minute. It's not like we're seeing excess deaths everywhere, so... Oh. What we did not properly appreciate is that preferences determine how scientific expertise is used, and that our preferences might be, indeed our preferences were, very different from many of the people that we serve. We created policy based on our preferences, then justified it using data, and then we portrayed those opposing our efforts as misguided, ignorant, selfish, and evil. If you were saying that at the time, well done. I'm afraid that's all it's going to be. No medal or anything like that. It's just well done. And perhaps just bear that in mind going forward. Also, good luck getting your small business back on track, because that money's gone to Amazon now. What a coincidence. We made science a team sport, and in doing so, we made it no longer science. It became us versus them, and they responded the only way anyone might expect them to, by resisting. We excluded important parts of the population from policy development and castigated critics, which meant that we deployed a monolithic response across an exceptionally diverse nation, forged a society more fractured than ever, and exacerbated long-standing health and economic disparities. So in a sense, the conversations that we were having, that Joe Rogan was having, those were exactly the conversations that needed to take place. And importantly, as the writer here says, you needed open-mindedness and conversation, not contempt and condemnation, not certainty and rigor, not alloying medical and scientific procedures to political beliefs. That's ideology. That's not experimentation. That's not science. And now that this has happened, what's required is an assessment and an address and an attempt to redistribute and right the wrongs that took place during that period. Our emotional response and ingrained partisanship prevented us from seeing the full impact of our actions and the people we are supposed to serve. We systematically minimized the downsides of the interventions we imposed without the input, consent, and recognition of those forced to live with them. In so doing, we violated the autonomy of those who were being most negatively impacted by our policies: the poor, the working class, small business owners, blacks and Latinos, and children. These populations were overlooked because they were made invisible to us by their systematic exclusion from the dominant corporatized media machine that presumed omniscience. Ultimately, everything that we were saying has proven to be true over time. Many of us did not speak up in support of alternative views, and many of us tried to suppress them. When strong scientific voices like renowned Stanford professors like John Ioannidis, Jay Bhattacharya, and Scott Atlas, or of University of California San Francisco professors Vinay Prasad and Monica Gandhi sounded the alarm on behalf of vulnerable communities, they faced severe censure by relentless mobs of critics and detractors in the scientific community, often not on the basis of facts, but solely on the basis of differences in scientific opinion. When former President Trump pointed out the downsides of intervention, he was dismissed publicly as a buffoon. And when Dr. Anthony Fauci opposed Trump and became the hero of the public health community, we gave him our support to do and say what he wanted.
wanted, even when he was wrong. But he's making a lot of money from those public speeches now, so it's not all bad news. Trump was not remotely perfect, nor were the academic critics of consensus policy. But the scorn that we laid on them was a disaster for public trust in the pandemic response. Our approach alienated large segments of the population from what should have been a national collaborative project. When you start to accept that this analysis is correct, you have to also suspect that they knew that they were doing that and didn't care, or it served the agenda they were pursuing so effectively that they were unable to resist it. I think ultimately that elite institutions of media, corporatism and government benefit from a divided population. So a situation like this was beneficial and we paid the price. The rage of those marginalized by the expert class exploded onto and dominated social media. Lacking the scientific lexicon to express their disagreement, many dissidents turned to conspiracy theories and a cottage industry of scientific contortionists to make their case against the expert class consensus that dominated the pandemic mainstream. I would say that it wasn't an expert class. It was a one-sided cadre of experts being utilized to underwrite a required agenda and a preset objective to ultimately facilitate the wealth transfer that we've already described. And as always takes place, whether there's a pandemic or not, the advance of the interests of the powerful. Simply put, the pandemic provided a lens to help us witness what ordinarily happens but is not so easily observable. Labeling this speech misinformation and blaming it on scientific illiteracy and ignorance, the government conspired with big tech to aggressively suppress it, erasing the valid political concerns of the government's opponents. This isn't just happening in the pandemic. This is happening now. This is happening around the war and in general around the mainstream centralist narratives we're invited to accept as true. The point of our entire channel and community, in fact, is to oppose these narratives, not just with regard to the pandemic. In fact, the reason we're still talking about the pandemic when it's largely accepted that, broadly speaking, it's over is because we are determined to use this example to create a new dialectic. So in the future, you don't accept that anymore. Oh, you can't say that about Ukraine. That means you don't support Ukrainian victims. You can't say that about the balloon. That means you don't support... No. We don't accept that anymore because we've seen in a concentrated time period, the way you come out is we're certain we've got the science, you lot are all hillbillies and nutters and conspiracy theorists. We've seen now, that wasn't true. They were wrong. Not only that, we were right. Most of it was common sense conjecture and a set of principles around individual and community freedom. Those are the things that came to the forefront. Those are the things you cared about. Those are the things we still care about. And don't worry, because those things are still valid and they're going to be more and more valid as what I call the establishment continues to amplify its need for control in the service of corporate interest. Now you can use that as a utensil to analyze any news story. Hang on, this balloon story. Are they going to use this to generate funding and impose control? Yeah, down the line, almost certainly. The war with Ukraine, are they going to use that? Climate change, are they going to use that? So now you can just sort of stick relatively firm. It's a good thing because now you know you were right. So you're able to go, oh good, I'm not crazy. So what's necessary is you continue to support our channel, you continue to support one another, you continue to communicate and you stay firm and strong. Don't turn into a nutter. Don't start thinking, oh well, if this is true, then probably that's true. They can get you on that. But if you stick to the facts, then ultimately the truth will win out. And this despite the fact that pandemic policy was created by a razor-thin sliver of American society, or an elite, who anointed themselves to preside over the working class, members of academia, government, medicine, journalism, tech, and public health, who are highly educated and privileged. From the comfort of their privilege, this elite prizes paternalism as opposed to average Americans who lord self-reliance and whose daily lives routinely demand that they reckon with risk. That many of our leaders neglected to consider the lived experience of those across the class divide is unconscionable. Incomprehensible to us due to this class divide, we severely judged lockdown critics as lazy, backwards, even evil. We dismissed as grifters those who represented their interests. We believed misinformation energized the ignorant and we refused to accept that such people simply had a different valid point of view. We crafted policy for the people without consulting them. If our public health officials had led with less hubris, the course of the pandemic in the United States might have had a very different outcome with far fewer lost lives. Instead, we have witnessed a massive and ongoing loss of life in America due to distrust of vaccines and the healthcare system, a massive concentration in wealth by already wealthy elites, a rise in suicides and gun violence, especially among the poor, a near doubling of the rate of depression and anxiety disorders, especially among the young, a catastrophic loss of educational attainment among already disadvantaged children and among those most vulnerable, a massive loss of trust in healthcare, science, scientific authorities and political leaders more broadly. So there you are. That is a voice from within the scientific establishment
telling you what you already knew. And beyond that, lives were lost. There was a financial cost, there was a health cost, there was a social cost, all stuff that we were discussing throughout this pandemic, because Bill Gates personally benefited, Anthony Fauci personally benefited, big tech benefited hugely, the government benefited, big pharma benefited, and ultimately, what is a crisis other than an opportunity for the powerful to double down on their interests and increase their power, to increase their authority, to eliminate the opportunity for dissent, to smear opposing voices. All of this we've seen take place over the pandemic, but this takes place across culture, across society, all of the time anyway. So stay alert and stay awake. If you enjoyed this video, please watch either of these fantastic videos. Turn on the notification bell and subscribe right now, because the algorithm, guess who that works for? Guess where that's going to direct you? We make content every day. We need you to watch it. We're available every day, also on Rumble. I'd love you to do all that stuff, but more importantly is that you please, if you can, stay free.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, Brother Russell, you know, like, that, and we've got a lot of people who are on our side who say he's controlled opposition and blah, 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 blah.
I know.
All I'm saying is that if he's telling the truth, let's applaud him for telling the truth. And when he tells lies, we'll call him out for telling lies. But come on,
exactly.
That was brilliant. And that was totally true.
Exactly. And I want to say that I think that there is a psychosis in this world of people that have to be victims and complain. And then there are people that need to always be the naysayer in the, like, the hall monitor kind of thing. And it's kind of like, no. Listen, take it apart. Pick out the good piece. What's
yeah.
he saying?
People wake up how they wake up. And if Russell Brand is part of somebody's awakening, if Bernie Sanders is part of somebody's awakening, if, you know, why does it matter where it started? It's as long as it's based on truth, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, Bernie Sanders says some really true things. You know, so do a lot of
mm-hmm.
people, just like Russell Brand, and you can call him controlled opposition. You can do that. But you know, you can't do that and disregard what they say. You can't say it's not true
exactly.
because, you know, especially when you believe it and you know it to be true. I think Zach is with us now. Are you,
mm-hmm.
can you?
I just like his accent.
Me? Okay, well, there's
that. I know,
that.
Right?
There's
and, that. And he said critics. The word critics got all screwed up. critics, the critics. Well, you're exactly right, Danielle. And I have that conversation a lot sometimes about people who, about whether or not someone has sold out, right? Or whether or not someone within a group is working for the other team kind of thing. And at the end of the story, inside, if you have the right culture that focuses on accountability and moving forward and addressing mistakes and then moving forward, it doesn't matter. There's a limit to how much damage anyone like that could do. One of the worst things that, you know, you can do if it's inside your organization is then to go have a witch hunt, right? Because then all gears, all motion stops, and they've effectively done the damage, right? So, you know, the notion, for example, people who protest against intelligence agencies and the Defense Department probably have absolutely surveillance on them, right? And you have to ask yourself, does that matter? No, it does not change what we're doing. It doesn't change the morals. It doesn't change. It does make you do need to be more careful about don't talk in code and say stupid things and make certain jokes, right? But all of that is kind of what you'd call like a security culture, which is say what you mean and do what you're here to do and keep, you know, as long as the organization stays on target, then it's good. It doesn't, you know, we had this conversation about Howie Hawkins, for example, with the Green Party.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a group, the Green Renaissance, that did their, on their webpage, they say that they believe it's COINTELPRO and part of the CIA's longstanding project of destroying activist groups. Factual. I mean, factual in the 70s, probably factual now. But then so what? You have to have a culture that overcomes that, that is stronger than that. When one of the really important things that I heard Russell Brand say, and a while ago there was a book called Street Science. I dealt with a little bit of an issue of experts in a neighborhood where literacy was low, poverty was high, and we were fighting a sewage plant for years and years and years that the government mm-hmm. would bring in. And, you know, in your daily life, if you work at a factory or you work in retail selling shirts or you work in a kitchen, you don't know what engineering is, but you do know that losing your house is wrong and there probably mm-hmm. is a better way, and you're going to challenge that, you know, or engineering solutions that seem to bring toxic things into the neighborhood probably should be challenged. And so moral leadership does not require expertise. He was talking about, you could call it, common sense. I like the words moral leadership because you're really talking about what's right and wrong from common sense. And that comes first in politics. Politics is about who decides. And the government, and when we have elections, the government decides because we put those people there. Then there's people who are less accountable, who are a massive bureaucracy that protect the people who are elected and are like the shock absorbers. And those tend to be technocrats, right? So mm-hmm. at some level, there's a certain science or medical. You can take the CDC, you know, trust me, I'm a doctor. Well, even the American Medical Association, you know, we will structure what's to be done. And they were even cramming down doctors and telling doctors, you can't talk about this. You can't be a doctor, even though, you know. And so what I would like to say, first off, when people get advanced degrees, like a PhD or a yeah. doctor, it is not, and it's treated as a status and therefore a license for power, but to make a decision. But that's not really how it works. A doctor works with the patient to make decisions together. It is the patient who is sovereign. And the doctor really, or a PhD in anything, has gotten permission to go study this in a mature way. That is really what the whole process is about, to install principles of maturity that are intellectual, right? Not of dominance. And, you know, so that's where things get a little out of control. When you say, you know, that only experts can make this decision about medicine, then you're mm-hmm. really talking about, you know, who decides. You're taking something that's a public decision or involves the public, and you're making it private. You're making knowledge private, right? That this is secret mm-hmm. in a way. It's removed from. So people, I always go back to the basis of talking to both people who are in electoral politics and in social movements is moral leadership. You start from right and wrong. What is it that from the viewpoint of people's daily life, including the documents that they have to use with these bureaucracies, with these technocratic concentrations of experts? And those are good things when they're ethical, right? And when they, doctors are ethical when they interact with their patients, when they, when there's a collective decision-making, the patient understands and gives consent. It's very yeah. important. So the moral leadership should be the basis of who decides. Of who, power and politics is about who answers one question, who decides. And so we're going to put some of that government legitimately in power into government, but not all of it. And none of it, if it's in there, should be completely private ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. They were saying this is private knowledge, private decision-making, and you obey, right?
Yeah.
So everyone knew that's wrong. You don't have to be a doctor to say, wait a minute, I want to know what's going on with my children. I want to know more about this thing, right? It doesn't feel right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It seemed kind of rushed, honestly, like the COVID and the fact that, the reality that we faced was, especially as these people who are in these high positions, doctors, nurses, anybody OSHA trained in clinical settings, really understands even the simplest things like masks, right? And how no time in history has there ever been really a study that says that masks work to stop viruses, right? Mm-hmm. There are certain settings where masks are definitely needed, like when you're in front of when you're in a sterile environment and you're in front of an open body cavity, you know, mm-hmm. because you don't want your bacteria getting into their open body cavities. That doesn't really have to do with viruses. And so all of a sudden, these things that were previously infection control violations turned into mandatory OSHA standards, right? You can't walk in anywhere. You have outside, inside, you have to wear a mask. And every medical professional should have questioned that, you know, because, you know, this is a novel virus. There were no peer-reviewed studies that say that this is going to stop a virus. Why are we doing this? And anybody who did question that got silenced. And, you know, if it was some other kind of, you know, case by case, general medical consensus like it had been, you know, that masks do not stop viruses, that would be one thing, but they completely changed protocol and said, yes, now masks can stop this. And there's no science to back it up. It's novel. It's an emergency. And there's no scientific debate in a novel virus.
Well, you mentioned OSHA. My understanding, I remember looking at this, and maybe it's off line, is that there was a limit to just over an hour for, and OSHA is the Occupational Safety Health Administration, right? So people who are contractors, I don't necessarily know whether or not they're, I don't think they're talking about surgeons and the case where you're standing over someone who has no skin to protect them in the immune system. And you're,
I mean, I did 10 years of that kind of OSHA training.
Yeah. And so up until, I think it was 20, the 2018 regs or 17 regs, they have to revise these every couple of years. They don't do it every year. Limited the amount of time that you can have most masks on. So if you're a carpenter, you're sanding the floors and all this particulate matter is going into the air that you cannot be breathing, or fiberglass, et cetera, there's a limit that you need to be taking a break and removing the mask, breathing. And, you know, and some of the most powerful critiques came from people showing up at school boards with a carbon dioxide meter and putting it on and just watching the ratio flip to where it was no longer, you're asphyxiating, you know, you're creating hypoxia, where you're no longer really safe. And, you know, so again, you have people's real world experience. If it doesn't jive with this expert pronouncement, moral leadership, place of moral critique, this doesn't feel right, this seems wrong, I don't trust this, therefore that power is illegitimate, and you have, you know, and it's a good place to critique it from it.
Right.
You know,
and that is in a surgical setting, though. Like, just really quick. That's in a, like, when really the stuff that we're talking about are fitted masks. You know, there's so many other things like N95 masks and all kinds of other kinds of masks. But what they wanted regular people to do was go and grab, cut off a sleeve from a shirt and cover up your breathing access with that sleeve covered in poison. Mm-hmm. That's what they wanted us to do, you know, like everybody, and that's going to stop a virus. Just go out and stick a sleeve over your face. That's going to be okay. Right?
It'll change your nervous system. I can tell you that. It'll absolutely change the way your nervous system works and downregulate your – well, it'll cause your immune system to be elevated too long. And so you're basically creating autoimmune in a sense.
Yes. And people wonder why cancer is like through the roof.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the reason why – this was allowed to go on. You had this segment of the population who were us, and we were like, no, you can't make us do something stupid that doesn't work. You had the other segment of the population who, going back to what you originally talked about, was the patient-doctor relationship of getting a good treatment program for the person. They have deviated from the basics of diet and exercise, and you kind of got to work a little bit for good health.
And
we've got a
population disregarding immune system.
They want immediate gratification. They want a pill. They want a treatment. They want the surgery. And with this, they wanted something they could do to immediately keep them safe. And they threw them a mask. And that and then wash your hands. And here's your, and those were the stupid little things that they gave the population to placate them, to make them think they were safe for that huge population that needed that. And that's what enslaved us all, because nobody could.
But that's, yeah, that's trauma-based mind control, you know? Right? Like that's, we scared a decent amount of the population into believing that, that, you know, scared them into staying home and not going outside and using hand sanitizer,
that, but,
you know, religiously.
That they have to go through, you know, it takes a little while for a virus to run its course, if it's a virus. Some of us might get sick, and here's something that can help. There was none of that. It was like, quick fix. Here's our quick fix. And that's what we kind of want as a society, which is that, that came back and bit us in the butt. That's my view of that.
It also,
you're talking about.
It also taught us, a lot of people, that you cannot, there's no one coming to save us, right? We've got to be the people to change it. And for example, you know, where is the famous anti-corporate raider Bernie Sanders? You know, where is the, how come he's not on the web going, ooh, you Pfizer corporation, you stick it up your Pfizer? You know, like how come he's not doing that all over there? You mask, I got your mask, boo, all billions and billions of dollars for you corporate.
Yeah.
People. You know, this is corporate stuff all over the place, and you have to be kind of dull not to see the corporations linking up arms here and thinking, kumbaya, we got it. You know, anyone. Yeah, and where is he? Has he retired? I don't know. Is he still selling his books?
I think he's there. You know who else is a really big disappointment is AOC. Like, going up there and, you know, I really thought that maybe she was going to be – she ran in the same race as me. Like, and she – I'm like, cool. You know, I know the people who helped her get her campaign off the ground, blah, blah, blah. And then to watch her in these last hearings, these House Oversight Committee hearings, just, like, throwing, like, a – she just, oh God, she looked like a Muppet, you know, like she was just, you know, her hair was like, I don't know. It just spouting all of this nonsense, you know.
Muppet is a technical term for an intelligence asset, by the way.
Well, I mean, if that's true, then I'll use it that way also. But I'm just telling you, like, she just looked like a cart, like totally scripted, totally like, you know, somebody went to an acting class. And her hair was, I don't know, like maybe I'm imagining her hair bobbling around, but like she was like, you know, on a good one with this speech that had nothing to do with reality. I don't know. Just gross. She was bad before, but now it's worse.
I always saw her as a very unrealistic, idealistic child that, I'm sorry, this is not how the world works. And really, we're not going to change it for you. It'd be easy.
And not connected to movements. Not connected to movements. Talking movement platform ideas, but not connected to movements at all, right?
Yes.
The Green New Deal. The Democrat. Who was it? Was it Ralph Nader, or maybe this is someone else that, you know, said that the Democratic Party is the place where social movements go to die, right? And so you stood up there without coordinating a coalition of environmental groups, just kind of who very much can articulate what a Green New Deal might look like, whether it's this or that or whatnot. But there were no toxic groups involved that would be talking about, look, we don't even have people in government testing most of the toxic chemicals that exist. So we don't even know what the threshold of lethality is, let alone what we just saw, you know, and the rail, I'm sorry, but the chemical transport of chemicals on rails and nuclear material being transported on rails has long been protested, documented, and lobbied by environmental groups.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to talk about that. That's part of the first issue is cleaning up our garbage and having some cleaner waste stream, not just the energy input, right? Because we live in it. Mm-hmm. And you know, if anybody's ever wants a good book to read or a good author, go read Sandra Steingraber, who wrote about living downstream, about the toxicity that a mother would have passing on toxins to her child. And, you know, you look at it now in the Ohio, what is it? There's a river basin there.
Mm-hmm.
You're all... the Southeast is all downstream. I mean, our aquifer is downstream and in the Smoky Mountains. So, and people are saying that it's blowing over to the prevailing wind blows eastward. to bigger population centers, but it's also going to blow into the Rockies. And there is some breakdown of that, but good grief. There was a place, there was an area in Louisiana called Cancer Alley because they were downwind of the vinyl production. And so you had fluoride production. This what used to be housing siding, right? I don't know if this got banned or not, but it's very cheap housing siding. You'll see it in the hood. If the house caught fire with that on it, the people in it are toast. They die from the gas. And this is dioxin. You're going back to like World War One, right? So this is a chlorine compound, and burning it is god-awful and, you know, makes other types of compounds that are deadly. If you're across the street in the fire department, was freaked out about it, because if you're across the street and this fire is going down, you might be on the ground pretty soon. You know, so it was absolutely not for a community.
Yeah, but you know what was absent from the story? And they used to describe these things accurately. A deadly chemical fire. That's how they would they had toned down all these everything to where they didn't even want to report on it. They've said that they found this on Twitter. They had I watched the group on the Five on Fox. They were apologizing for not reporting on it because nobody knew about it. It was like, you know, they've been downplaying it the whole time. But they used to report these things. It would be in headlines, deadly chemical fire. Nope, not anymore. You know, and it's kind of, you know, they're bought and paid for by the big corporations, obviously.
Yes.
Because, you know, after you have one of those things happen, you would think because of the lawsuits that would have happened, that should have happened, and should have been won, that this would not happen again. They'd make sure. But instead it goes the exact opposite way. And
they just changed the liability threshold. Changed the toxicity threshold from tenfold, I believe. They, you know, so in other words, something that would have at 10 parts per million, you moving it to 100 parts per million would mean that you can have more toxins and pollutants in the environment before you've done something bad or illegal, right? So they've changed the liability. That's absolutely going to affect any lawsuit. Made it 10 times less harmful in the eyes of, you know, a bureaucrat with a slide rule, basically.
Yeah. Right. And there are certain resources that we have to take back even before we can address those bigger problems, right? Like, we all know why Pfizer is not being called out for more things than they are, and other companies that release toxins, and government transportation agencies. Why is it that we, you know, are implementing these huge, like, you know, green New Deal, replace buildings, you know, owners suffer. But on the other hand, we're just going to ignore this. Like, they're telling us that, you know, gas stoves are horrible for the environment.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, they're going to say, this mushroom cloud is safe and effective. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm sorry, I gotta stop talking. You go ahead. You're saying it good.
No. I'm just saying that, like, that's what's going on, right? We all have to acknowledge that. And there's a reason that we, you know, and let me just play just 3 minutes. But, you know, one hypothesis as to why public opinion has not swayed against Pfizer and these other companies is 3 minutes, 3, 2, 1.
Good Morning America is brought to you by Pfizer. CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer. Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer. ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer. Making a Difference, brought to you by Pfizer. CNN Tonight, brought to you by Pfizer. This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer. Today's countdown to the royal wedding is brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports Update brought to you by Pfizer.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Well, and I don't even need to go into the whole 3 minutes, but you can do a whole 3-minute compilation of brought to you by Pfizer. So why is it that the American people aren't connecting the dots? Is it possible that the Kardashians are brought to you by Pfizer? You know what I mean?
I think they're connecting the dots. I think they are.
Yeah,
I think,
yeah, they are. But it's the media. The media is bought and paid by Pfizer. And, you know, these big corporations, the CDC and the EPA, need to be taken to the carpet over the fact that with all the evidence and that, the commentary that Russell Brand put out, after all of that, the CDC has the guts to put that shot on the child's vaccination program.
So frustrating.
Crickets. And the EPA raises the acceptable levels. All of a sudden, it's okay? Why is it now? Is it gotten better? Is it better for you? Is it like good cholesterol? They need to be held accountable for, you know, should we have you in charge of this anymore? Because I don't think your ethics are in our best interest. I think you're being influenced by bad money. I think that needs to be the conversation.
And that's on both sides of the aisle, you know, like, yeah. You know, that, so that's, you know, it's hard because, like, I'm not disagreeing that we need some kind of governance, local governance, community governance, but it's not this. It's, you know, money out of politics is like the only thing that'll fix our system. And even at that point, I don't think it'll fix it completely.
There's always going to be money. There needs to be ethical accountability.
Well, let's look at the CDC. Go ahead. Look at the CDC for a moment. The infectious disease part that Fauci runs, partnering with agencies, with pharmaceuticals, and they also dispense the money to academia that then partner and license out those initially tax-funded research and findings to corporations. So the universities act like corporations as well. And the CDC staff can have license royalties. So at what point is the public interest really cut into it? We're the ones funding this stuff when it gets laundered through the universities or goes directly to, and we're supposed to see progressive drugs that work. You can, on that alone, you can say that we're not getting it. And then number two, the public taxpayer is enriching people at the public expense. You know, not that it's just killing people, and these are drugs is one of the leading cause of death in the United States, used properly, I'm not talking about overdose, but then also, so therefore the whole thing isn't working. Like, that's a horrible admission. Goes into the medical schools too. And then also, we're directly basically picking winners and losers. So we're deciding that we're going to have monopolies make medicine. And what are the realities of that? That, you know, there is lack of innovation, perhaps. I mean, they have an approval process that is very expensive. And you can push on either side of it. It needs to be longer. It needs to be shorter. Or it needs to be more extensive. But that tends to be a very high bar. So therefore, what should we be doing? Should our tax dollars, the federal government, be funding drugs? I don't think staff should be getting pay royalties. I mean, you work. Why is the CDC people get royalties and the people who work in the Navy don't? Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
They go out to work somewhere. That's a problem. But, huh?
The CDC is a corporation.
Well, there you go.
It runs as a corporation. And is it, you know, you got into the monopoly thing. You need to go, not you, but we need to open up the market into not just your insurance company covers this medical institution. It should go into every allopathic, homeopathic, every avenue of health should be open for everyone.
Yeah.
They've started to get into prevention a little bit, some of them, and I'm waiting for someone to figure that one out, that homeopathy, nutraceuticals, and herbals are wonderful, chronic, and preventative. You'll have much healthier clients and fewer doctor bills. for the
industry. Right. Then you have the FDA that is another corporation that says, oh, they want to regulate and keep those things out of your hands. These corporations.
Too much vitamin C, illegal.
Well, they tried to make N-acetylcysteine illegal. They were going for that in the last 2 years. So that, you know, that helps your ability to detoxify your body's pro-glutathione. I mean, if you want to kill people faster, screw up glutathione, you know, and that's what some of the pesticides do. They're also on the verge of squishing homeopathy in the United States. So it's getting pretty bad now.
Yeah, and we need to take the power away. We're being run by medical corporations, basically.
Right.
You need to look at it as that. Are you going to have Ford tell you what you're going to do? Are you going to have, you know, Pfizer run your life? No. The CDC and the FDA are no better than, you know, a used car salesman at this point. You shouldn't trust them. And they shouldn't be, and they certainly shouldn't be funded nonchalantly without any accountability. And they are not Lord and God, and they should not be the last word on health. We have the last word on health.
That's part of corporate rule. This is part of corporate citizenship. You know, when Fauci was asked, how much money are you and your staff getting? I think Ron Paul asked this in a Senate hearing. He said that we're not required to tell you. Okay.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Well, we need to change that. That needs to be changed right there. Yeah.
Well, he said the truth. Like, he told the truth. He's not required because there's some really messed up law out there that says that they're not required.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, who approved that law? I'm going to say Biden's got fingerprints on it. I'm just a conspiracy theorist.
No, I think it goes back years. I don't think that's a new thing.
No,
he says that they're absolved of any. You cannot sue them. And I even think Nixon started it. Reagan solidified it. They paved the way for all of this, you know, mindfuck of free health care.
Yeah, was it 88? Was that the vaccine indemnity law that you're talking about in 88?
Yeah. That took any liability. You cannot sue them for anything.
And that's when the battery exploded. That's when it went from MMR to, you know, from measles, mumps, rubella to, that's when it exploded. Yeah. And I've seen as many as like 60. I mentioned that to my mother that, you know, no, people are being forced to take 60 and before they're 2 years old. And, you know, so these young immune systems, she's like, that's impossible. No, they aren't. No, you know, you didn't have anything. You had three, you know. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But that was a long time. That was before they, you know, they could do damage to you. And
Let me
give you a kind of a disgusting statistic. Is San Diego Unified School District requires from age like 0 to 18 to go to public school, they require 92 shots.
And do they
stop
by lower rate? The earlier ages, do they graduate that, or do they have it broken down by every 5 years or certain grades?
They say they basically need to get caught up if they're not by the time they start school. Like for instance, I really do believe my son is vaccine injured. He is autistic. He's diagnosed with autism. He's highly functioning autism, but there was a set of shots at 4 months that was, I believe, when he changed. Like, he was developing normally, looking in my eyes, all of these things, and then not.
It's tragic.
Years and years later, he was diagnosed with autism. Now I have a younger daughter who, at that point, you know, interesting story. I was working full time, running dental offices. My mother-in-law was the one responsible for taking Ava, my youngest child, to go get her shots. And she had just moved from Sedona, like total hippie. And she insisted on getting her 4-month-old, you know, shots split up. And, you know, this is anecdotal, I understand, but, you know, I've got one child with autism. We did shots on time. We did another child and we split up the shots. And she's a 13-year-old in ninth grade, you know, going to graduate, you know, by 16 years old, probably 16 and a half.
Great. Well, yeah, there's a good deal of literature coming, you know, that's out about this from a clinical perspective. In other words, you know, direct involvement of families and looking at children and how they progress and develop. And part of the concern is having, the idea is you're overwhelming the immune system before 2 years old, before mm-hmm. it has stabilized and is fairly fragile. And this kind of has cataclysmic effects. It has knock-on effects that begin to snowball. And so some people see it immediately, you know, that on the way home, they're not the same person. It's that fast. Some people, there's more of a delay. And some of this variety may have to do with the diversity of our genome in our guts. So the bacteria DNA in our guts are where that are getting whacked. Similarly, when we take antibiotics, now this is highly controversial, but people are coming around to the antibiotic stuff too. That, for example, babies that were born with C-section didn't go through the birth canal, and therefore did not have the same bacteria, which is the last gift of the mother, that is positive for the immune system.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And those people have different sets.
Besides the breast milk.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, when I was born, we were kept on the umbilical cord for about a half hour before they cut it. So
yeah.
That we could get all of that. It was a whole different way, and they've eliminated that.
More babies are born between the hours of 9 to 5 than in any other time in history, right? Because the OBGYN is like, I'm late for, you know, a tea time or a golf, dinner, whatever.
They've been duped to thinking there's nothing wrong with that, but when you're stealing that, and then you add all these terrible chemicals to a little child that shouldn't, you know, this is being funded from a corporation, CDC. And then on top of this, the ramifications of all of these new effects, they created the whole new industry, and now the special ed department is blooming in every school district. They're making, they don't even care. They've made this huge industry. They're making so much money off of damaging our children and making you feel like you're a bad parent for not letting us do this. It's criminal. Absolutely criminal.
Well, it's at a terminal level in our population. I've seen forecasts that by 2040, 1 in 2 would be potentially autistic, including boys, boys. So you're beginning to talk about the reproductive ability of a population to sustain itself. One of the things about health, and, you know, so basically if it's destroying your immune system, the cradle of your immune system is in your gut, if it's overwhelming it. And the idea is that there's a very huge biological diversity, a unique system going on in your intestines. And so things like antibiotics and injections of immune operating things like a vaccine disrupt that and kill off that biome in a permanent way. Some people think you can't recover exactly what it was. You might recover function, but you can't get it back. So there's a uniqueness about what was there. And one of the things that I kind of have focused on is the situation of B vitamins in the gut by these bacteria. And so in other words, they create B vitamins. And vitamins kind of are constructs of different nutrients, okay? And one thing that we need are proteins to be able to build an so we need engineers to kind of and bricklayers to be able to lay brick if you want to build muscle or unbuild some old stuff, you know, and get rid of it. So we have engineers. So enzymes operate as engineers. And what one passive, one key thing about the B vitamins, for example, in child development, and this is true whether you're pregnant or pre or postnatal, and the child's development, is folate. And, you know, which typically we can eat broccoli and get good folate. And it's given to us in supplements as folic acid, which is not always very absorbable. And then also is very important. So you're hearing, you know, B1, B2 starts setting our biological rhythm cycles. B3, kind of our metabolism. B5, B6, about burning fat, metabolism. So folate in particular and its role with getting rid of toxins and methylation, you know, again, we're back to kind of getting, how does the body get rid of the poison if you don't have that? And so if you get the shot and it destroys your gut biome and you don't make these B vitamins and you don't make folate, then the brain is going to develop differently, period. You know, and your brain is not going to get rid of toxins overnight the way it does. It makes a foamy substance that kind of squishes like a sponge. And then first thing in the morning, you can flush it out with a lot of water from the colon. But if you don't have that, then your brain is definitely not. It's kind of like putting a banana in the tailpipe, right? Your engine is going to start suffocating. You know, it doesn't have that oxygen to fuel ratio. Yeah, so imagine your brain like that. You can't be, it's toxic. All your organs aren't going to work well. And it doesn't have to be more, it's not even more complex than that, you know, is what I think, you know, methylation. So maybe the opposite can be helpful.
What do they have? They have all of these pills to mask the symptoms, but not the cause. Now, and I'm going to ask you, why is it you know these things, but it's not widely known through the medical establishment?
Well, they're not.
Good morning, America is brought to you by Pfizer. CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer. Anderson Cooper, 360.
Amen.
Exactly. Yeah.
Those are the people who fund the medical industry. I mean, the med schools. Go look at the funding of the med schools. Look at the AMA. Look at, you know, the hospitals funded by, okay.
Do we see an agenda here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
And God bless you for knowing, being able to find this knowledge, this hidden knowledge that we all need to know. It makes me so angry that people are so unaware of just the basics and the blind trust for these fucking institutions that really don't have your best interests all the way down the line.
Well, we need to get rid of kings, and we have a daddy complex. Like, we treat our president like he's daddy. You know what I mean?
I know.
And we got to get over it. Like, it's time for the Superman story to kind of, okay, we've done that enough. Those are the comic books.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's time for us really, and I'm not saying that there are no great people and heroes. That's not it at all. But it needs to be us. You want the doctor to solve it for you. We want the doctor, you know, to be someone up on a pedestal. We look at, you know, lawyers that way. Or maybe we don't, but, you know, but experts, the expert, in trumps your common knowledge, your common sense, and you've been told that your moral sense is not what you should be talking about. Like, that's wrong. And what do we have if we don't have that? I mean, you know, before we did economics, we used to teach moral philosophy. That's what that was called. You know, what's the right way to have a business, you know?
Ethics.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Well, that kind of went out the window, I think, a long
by
time
design,
ago.
They didn't want us to, in critical thinking, reading skills, and now it's just, it's on TV, it's on The View. Yeah, uh-huh.
The left, some time ago, walked away from like faith-based conversations, and you know that they and kind of made science a religion. And you take this even informally, like, you know, I'm talking people who are trained in social science, people who are trained in not just psychology, you know, who are kind of heavy-handed with thinking about morality or bigger concepts that people perceive but can't empirically always touch. But the right, I don't think the right moved away from this. I think that they built upon it by and large. And again, I'm talking about using moral language and basing that on kind of that's kind of the gateway to then have other conversations about policies. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about having a religion, like do you believe in this or that? Not that, but that people operate from what the sense of what's right and wrong. And the left considers that too religiosity. Like, what was it, the Bill Maher's film that he did, Religiosity?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good example. You know, that's a complete, he was going after organized religion, but that's also filters through from the way – and if you look at left politics, people show up with a plan and they don't – you know, they never use any moral language and they get destroyed at the polls. They wonder why the Republican wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Exactly.
But
yeah,
politics should have nothing to do with our own health. We should be able to make an informed decision.
Well,
yeah.
But our opinions are shaped in so many different ways. But, you know, we've got politics, we've got religion, we've got medical, we've got Hollywood, we've got all this whole system that somehow works together and, you know, in harmony to keep us away from these very basic health, this very basic health knowledge, like what vitamins that we need to survive. All kinds of different things keep us away from, keep us away from technologies that can help us and keep us fighting over resources that could be infinite if we let them. Like, we know that there's infinite energy sources out there. We know that. But, you know, we just kind of stay in this reality where it's just like, oh, all of the energy is only this, you know, this or this knob, and that's it. There's no others. When we know that they're just doing that to keep us, adhered to their system, so that there's no other way to do it. They're so stressed out that, you know, it's easy to just say, you know what, I'm just not going to look at it, and I'm going to be happy. Ignorance is bliss. All of these things, because who am I? How am I going to change this system by myself? Now, with that, our friend John Michael is here for the last couple minutes of the show.
Oh,
so good. I'm going to let him back in.
Welcome back, Ed.
Oh, my gosh. Hello.
Hi.
I had to join the conversation at the right time. I love it. I had to go eat dinner and go to group, and so thank you guys for having me back.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, sweetie. We love you. So what do you think?
Yeah. Well, I think that the gentleman, I'm not sure who that was talking, but the gentleman made a really good point about the lack of the moral dialogue on the left side, right? And I think that I can speak from personal experience, because when I ran for Congress, I definitely tried to frame things in a moralistic way, right? Like, because I knew my district, right? My district's the district I lived in at the time was 22nd, so Devin Nunes, was the rep. So like 70% Republican voter registration, like 30% Democrat, right? Like very, very heavily conservative district. And so I knew, like, okay, I have to speak to these people in their terms, right? And being a person of faith, it was really easy for me to kind of go, well, wait a minute. Like, let's talk about public assistance, right? Let's talk about programs. Let's talk about the truly, really, when you think about it, radically progressive policies that Jesus Christ himself had, right? And I think that the Republican Party nowadays, they do a really good job of, like, kind of monopolizing religion, right? And the left, there isn't that response on the left, right? And we think back to, like, the iconic people of the past that used religion in enacting social change. And of course, the most looming figure that comes to mind to me is Martin Luther King Jr., right? We just celebrated his birthday. And so he talked about the institutional racism from a standpoint of, this does not fit what Jesus Christ and what God is about, right? And for a lot of the country, it brought on feelings of guilt, right? And that led to action. And so I definitely agree with what that gentleman was saying, for sure. I think that the right has definitely monopolized that religious part of things, right? And I'm not a Democrat by any means. I'm definitely not a Democrat. I'm an independent, right? But I certainly think that, like, that the social justice aspect is something that the left fails to do every time. They would rather talk about how abortion and how many women have abortion. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm not saying it's not an issue, but I think that the number is very, very, very low, if I'm not mistaken, right? The percentage of women who have one throughout their life is actually pretty low, right? And so they would rather talk about the wrong thing almost every time. And it's so interesting to watch because it's like you could really craft this dialogue of this. We need to be taking care of people because it's the right thing to do. We need to be dismantling these corporations that are making such drastic, gigantic errors that are harming everybody, right? We need to dismantle these corporations like yesterday, right? We don't have them doing that because they take their money, right? We know it's because they take their money, number one. But number two, they don't have the guts, I think. And that's why I stopped being a Democrat myself, because I'm like, they don't have the guts to stand up for what is actually right. And I'm not saying the Republicans are any better. I'm not saying I'm a Republican, but it's, you know, Washington. I'm going to end on this thought here, but George Washington, I think, is the one who originally said that the party system, the two parties, would be the death of America. Right. He advocated that he was not partisan. Right. He was advocated for there to be no party system because he knew what it was, probably because he knew what it was like in the UK. Right. Because there were Tories and Whigs in the UK. So he already knew kind of like what that looked like already. Right. And so, I think that his words proved to be pretty prophetic for all of us. Right. Because we have these two parties that are both owned by the same people. George Carlin said it's one big club and you're not fucking in it. Right. So that's where we're at.
Amen.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
We have another caller I'm going to let in. We only have a few minutes left, but I hope you guys can indulge a caller.
I was going to ask, someone said that if we would just adhere to the Ten Commandments, we wouldn't need anybody.
I've heard some background there. I'm just Joe Gibson from North Carolina. I just didn't know what he was talking about is what we need to take care of people as far as what is or go after the corporations. I wasn't sure what he was addressing. Was he saying that we need more, the people out there need more assistance? Is he talking about the welfare program? I kind of caught it a little bit late there. Is he saying dismantle the programs or is too much welfare out there? I didn't understand what the topic was that he was addressing there, that last gentleman that was speaking.
I think it was more about moral language, and he said both. He was talking about corporations and how their behavior might not be moral, and then also, and I would agree with that, and also he did make a moral framing that I thought was really good. I'd say it's not necessarily religious, but he said, are we going to help someone, for example, healthcare, or I think he used the word a welfare service, are we going to care for someone else because it's the right thing to do? Does that make sense?
Well, right thing to do, but the Constitution doesn't give us the authority to provide health care to people or to provide programming, you know, all these programs, these social programs to people. The Constitution doesn't authorize it whatsoever, and we've gone away from the Constitution so far, by first doing that, by creating a central bank that prints money out of thin air. So there's no fiscal responsibility. We have a central bank that's owned by foreign stockholders that have no interest whatsoever in the American dream. I believe that the private sector and their creativity, less government intervention, less government regulation, and then the people will be able to be independent and provide for themselves without government regulation or government intervention by creating these programs.
So this is an interesting question.
We need to take care of each other. I think we need to incorporate some of the Ten Commandments with the Constitution. You know, the government can only do so much, but we still need to be decent human beings and have our priorities where they need to be. I think the left has gone, the social justice platform has gone into the land of irrelevance. You know, we don't need...
Well, and if I might...
You know,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I thought you were finished with your thought. I was just going to say, if I could just like reiterate what I think is exactly what you're just saying, like, okay, we're giving how much in tax breaks to these corporations that, again, are not being socially responsible and are committing immoral actions, right? We're giving them tax breaks. We're allowing them to continue to operate. And I agree with you as far as there is a lot of over-regulation on stupid shit. Like, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of over-regulation on stupid shit. I've had several state licenses. I know for sure, like there is a lot of things that are regulated incorrectly, right? But when it comes to the big things, we should be probably regulating some things a little bit more, and we should probably stop giving them money, and we should probably put them out of business when they make drastic mistakes that are causing such environmental disasters as y'all were talking about at 4 o'clock, right? When I, or 3 o'clock when I first joined in. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense, sure.
There's also a legal basis to dissolve corporations called quo warranto, which is to dissolve their corporate charter, which is the basis of their personhood.
Mm-hmm.
And if they cause harm to society, which is a phrase ultra vires. Eliot Spitzer did this when he was attorney general. He dissolved a couple tobacco
nonprofits.
In New
York, right.
In New York. But they were just nonprofits, right? So this is just to make somebody's happy, make someone happy, but they were putting out information to benefit the corporation, but they were dissolved. So anybody, you know, the big case is in California with Unocal to dissolve their charter based on what they did in Bhopal with the Bhopal chemical spill. You know, if you want an analogy to what's happening here in Ohio and five other places, some of these companies are operating and making money and, you know, et cetera. I think one of the biggest things that was brought up by the gentleman in North Carolina was the constitutionality. And I know, for example, conservatives will frame a metaphor as an ATM, that if people haven't put in their something to society, they've earned it, then you can't take it out of the bank, and yet you're taking it out of other people's bank when you're using taxpayers' money for welfare. That's the analogy. The opposite analogy, and that's kind of a what's called what George Lakoff calls a strict disciplined father, right? And you'll see this in Trump quite a bit. And then the parental metaphor on the left is kind of the way it was also framed. The initial caller before said about morality: are we going to care for someone, using like a drawing off of like a Christian ethic or a different ethic from religion? And of course, not to say that the people on the right don't believe in religion. That's not the point. It's a moral framing here. What is the basis of the law of framing for welfare? Anybody know in the Constitution? I mean, I don't. What is the basis of it? What do they say?
Providing for the general welfare.
You were supposed to leave a certain amount of space in your field for people to glean off of.
That's biblical.
That's
I don't know
Bible.
If that's constitutional.
That's Leviticus.
Well,
that's biblical. Okay, but hold on. The question that's on the table is it constitutional? We know that it's biblically the way that we should be doing. We should be going. But is it constitutional, I think, is the question on the table.
The U.S. Constitution is best misunderstood, you know, not as a social contract, but as a popular issued corporate charter. You know, you go back to the earliest colonies, they were literal corporations of the crown, and like all corporations, were ruled by limited governments, you know, that established by their own charters. You know, so from this, Americans have derived their understanding of what a constitution is, the written charter of a sovereign that ordains and limits a government.
That's true. Even the Dartmouth case back in the early 1800s. That's true.
I think a constitution is supposed to be based on the Magna Carta also, right?
Well, the U.S. Constitution is not – what he said was true in terms of his history, you know, and that's how these states were formed. But the Constitution is not derivative of King George, though, right?
Yeah, that's correct. The key Federalist innovation was to substitute the people for the king as the chartering sovereign. This effectively transferred the governance technology of the corporation to the civil government, you know, including the practice of delegating authority, you know, via written charter or charter amendment and judicial review, so, you know, something like that.
So like the Dartmouth case against the people of New Hampshire was about Dartmouth. So Dartmouth was of the elites by the king. And then when the country, his old domain fell, let's say, we won the war, we survived the Revolutionary War, became a country, there you had the king's assets, and the state of New Hampshire wanted Dartmouth. And yet the elites fought back and were able to argue that Dartmouth was its own entity and could not be taken over. So it's a private school to this day. So there was some kind of it was not as clean as you think. Like, there's remnants of the old king system there, and it became in corporate form, especially at the end of that century.
Right. And I think that's the difference between public and private law, which is, you know, with 4 minutes left in the show, we certainly can't get into it in detail. But, you know, public versus private law, is how certain people have some things and other people do not. It's about your sovereignty level and what kind of law you adhere yourself to, you know. And so if that makes any sense.
I think that way back then, when we had just goodness in our hearts, I don't think we needed laws to tell us how to be a good person. It was basic kindness to help a fellow man. And I don't think that they encompass the fact we'd ever get to the point where we would lose our humanity and deny anyone food if they were hungry, you know?
I don't know.
You ever read Thomas Hobbes? I don't know. A little bit of yes, a little bit of the game, maybe, who knows? I don't know. I'm not anarchistic to the feel that without some sort of governance, sometimes we wouldn't test how far we could go. And greed and selfishness are kind of part of our condition, unfortunately. So I do think we need government.
You know, that's kind of what Jesus says in the Bible. that's kind of a part of human nature. So, you know,
And I do think that it was based on this, you know, it's not just the Bible, I call it the tomes. There's a lot of religions that kind of go on this same basic principle of, you know, take care of your neighbors, take care of your family, take care of your community, honor, respect, love, right? And there's certain, forces that work their way in. And I think there should be governance over that. But the good news is that I read the end of the book and we do win.
That part.
So, on that note, we've got about 30 seconds left. I just want to thank everybody for calling in. And I really appreciate the differences in opinions and the fact that we could come together and still know that we're trying to be on the same path, and that is to take back resources, starting with food, news, and health. And that's why we do this show every Sunday, Seeds of Change, every Sunday from 3 to 6 Pacific Standard Time. Thank you to all of our regulars and to our newcomers. And share this video if you can. We love you all, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks for coming.
All right, thank you.
It was nice talking to y'all. Bye.
Bye, honey.